Camelot. Camelot. Camelot.
It's only a model.
Shh. Knights, I bid you welcome to your new home. Let us ride to Camelot.
Red lights at the round table, three dots where we're able. We do routines and call the scenes to put work in bed cable. We dine well here in Camelot, we eat ham and jam and spam a lot. Red lights at the round table, our shows are more mid-able. So many times we give and rhyme that are quite unsingable. We're off to bed in Camelot, we sing from the diaphragm alone.
I have to push the pram a lot.
We're on second boat, let's not go to Camelot.
Ma'am, sorry.
It is a silly thing.
What knight lives in that castle over there?
I'm 37.
What?
I'm 37, I'm not old.
Well, I can't just call you man.
You could say Dennis.
I didn't know you were called Dennis.
Well, you didn't bother to find out, did you?
I did say sorry about the old woman, but from behind you looked...
What I object to is you automatically treat me like an inferior.
Well, I am king.
Oh, king, eh? Very nice. And how'd you get that, eh? By exploiting the workers. By hanging on to outdated imperialist dogma which perpetuates the economic and social differences in our society. If there's ever going to be any progress...
Dennis, there's some lovely filth down here. Oh, how'd you do?
How'd you do, good lady? I'm Arthur, King of the Britons. Whose castle is that?
King of the who?
The Britons.
Who are the Britons?
Well, we all are. We are all Britons. And I am your king.
I didn't know we had a king. I thought we were an autonomous collective.
You're fooling yourself. We're living in a dictatorship. A self-perpetuating autocracy in which the working classes...
Oh, there you go, bringing class into it again.
That's what it's all about. If only people would...
Please, please, good people. I am in haste. Who lives in that castle?
No one lives there.
Then who is your lord?
We don't have a lord.
What?
I told you, we're an anarcho-syndicalist commune. We take it in turns to act as a sort of executive officer for the week.
Yes.
But all the decisions of that officer have to be ratified at a special bi-weekly meeting.
Yes, I see.
By a simple majority in the case of purely internal affairs.
Be quiet.
But by a two-thirds majority in the case of...
Be quiet. I order you to be quiet.
Order? Who does he think he is?
I'm your king.
Well, I didn't vote for you.
You don't vote for kings?
Well, how'd you become king, then?
The Lady of the Lake. Her arm clad in the purest shimmering samite held aloft Excalibur from the bosom of the water, signifying by divine providence that I, Arthur, was to carry Excalibur. That is why I'm your king.
Listen, strange women lying in ponds distributing swords is no basis for a system of government. Supreme executive power derives from a mandate from the masses, not from some farcical aquatic ceremony.
Be quiet!
Oh, but you can't expect to wield supreme executive power just because some watery tart threw a sword at you.
Shut up!
Oh, but if I went round saying I was an emperor just because some moistened bint had lobbed a scimitar at me, they'd put me away.
Shut up! Will you shut up?
Ah, now we see the violence inherent in the system.
Shut up!
Oh. Come and see the violence inherent in the system! Help! Help! I'm being repressed!
Bloody peasant!
Oh, what a giveaway! Did you hear that? Did you hear that, eh? That's what I'm on about! Did you see him repressing me? You saw it, didn't you?
Ho, ho, ho! King Shaziz the Turbo! All rise for King Shaziz the Turbo and the Knights of the Round Table!
Away, 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 away
nothing happening here. What it is ain't exactly clear. There's a man with a gun over there telling me I got to beware. I think it's time we stop, children, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. There's battle lines being drawn. Nobody's right if everybody's wrong. Young people speak in their minds are getting so much resistance from behind. Every time we stop, hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. What a field day for the heat. A thousand people in the street singing songs and a carrying signs. Mostly say hooray for our side. It's time we stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. Strikes deep into your life, it will creep. It starts when you're always afraid. Step out of line, the man come and take you away. We better stop, hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going on. We better stop, hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going on. We better stop now, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going on. We better stop, children, what's that sound?
In constant sorrow all through his day, I am a man of constant sorrow. I've seen trouble all my day. I bid farewell to old Kentucky, the place where I where he was born and raised. For 6 long years I've been in trouble. No pleasure here on earth I found. For in this world I'm bound to ramble. I have no friends. No friends to help him now. It's fare thee well, my old lover. I never expect to see you again. For I'm bound to ride that northern railroad. Perhaps I'll die upon this train. Perhaps he'll die upon this train. You can bury me in Sunday Valley. For many years where I may lay. I am
And the Mississippi River, she's a going dry. The interest is up and the stock market's down, and you're only getting mugged if you go downtown. I live back in the woods, you see, my woman and the kids and the dogs and me. I got a shotgun, a rifle, and a four-wheel drive, and a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. I can plow a field all day long. I can catch catfish from dusk till dawn. Make our own whiskey and our own smoke too. Ain't too many things these old boys can't do. We grow good old tomatoes and homemade wine, and country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. Because you can't starve us out and you can't make us run. Those wooden old boys raised on shotguns. We say grace, we say ma'am. If you ain't into that, we don't give a damn. We came from the West Virginia coal mines and the Rocky Mountains and the western skies. We can skin a buck, we can run a trot line, and a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. I had a good friend in New York City. He never called me by my name, just Hillbilly. Grandpa taught me how to live off the land, and his taught him to be a businessman. He used to send me pictures of the Broadway nights, and I'd send him some homemade wine. But he was killed by a man with a switchblade knife. For $43, my friend lost his life. I'd love to spit some beach nut in that dude's eyes and shoot him with my old 45, cause a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. Cause you can't stop us out and you can't make us run, cause when them old boys raised on shotguns. From North California and South Alabama and little towns all around this land. And we can skin a buck and run a trot line, and a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive.
Hello, everybody. You're listening to the Knights of the Round Table. In the real news today, Shoemaker Elves started a union and basically run themselves out of a job, and Tom Thumb got crumbed, and something about a frog in a cheese sandwich. Anyway, hope y'all doing well out there. We're still behind the scenes trying to solve all the problems of the world and doing all kinds of alternative energy experiments and just trying to discover things that have been either covered over or forgotten in life and that kind of stuff. Do me a favor, if you like what you hear here on ShazizRadio.com or Awake Radio or No Borders or 1800 Online or TCT or how many more, Muddy?
Oh, my goodness, a whole bunch.
I can't even list them all off. We're going to have to get a list one of these days and just make an auto potter. But anyway, you know, we're growing as far as network getting together and people sharing information and that kind of stuff. We'd kind of like to see people up in the chat room sitting there talking about different things and posting pertinent links and that kind of stuff. It's really super easy to become a Knight of the Round Table. It's as simple as a Skype call in, you know. And all we ask for you when you join in on the show is to be respectful and, you know, kind of watch the language and that kind of stuff, because we never know who's listening. Might be some kids or somebody's mama out there. I got some sort of feedback going on. Echo. All right, well, that's modern technology for you.
That's Skype readjusting.
Time to turn that down just a hair. Anyway,
yeah. Turn off the adjustment. Don't let it do any adjusting.
Yeah. Anyway, you know, there's, you guys could help us out a whole lot if, when you're out there on Facebook, you just happen to drop a mention that we're trying to put a network together of just like-minded individuals to come together and try to help one another out and you know, find the solutions to problems in the world and try to help each other enact those solutions and make it a better world. You know, I've been saying this forever and a day, you know, if you wait around for anybody else to do what it is that you could do yourself, it'll never get done. And if you expect the governments of the world to solve all the problems of the world, then you're not going to be a very happy camper when it's all said and done, because their track record's not very good. And so, you know,
they're not trying to solve any. Well, I mean, I'm sure they're trying, but they're not solving any problems because they created all those problems for the most part.
Well, yeah, it's problem, action, solution, and, you know, a lot of folks don't, you know, some folks laugh at people because they think they're conspiracy nuts, but all the conspiracy nuts seem to be, what's the word I'm looking for, just but not verified or whatever, something like that.
They're more right than they are wrong.
Yeah, there you go, that's the word it was.
Twice a day.
There's another bit of high-tech terminology that I was trying to vindicate it. That's the word I was looking for. Yeah, they're vindicated, because that back in the day when they talked about military on the streets and such, you know, you know, people laughed at them, ha-ha, you know, our government wouldn't do that. You can always trust your government. Well, you can trust your government if you elected Congressman Bongwater, because at least he tells you like it is. You know, he says he's going to screw you on taxes. It's as simple as that. So anyway, got a whole lot of different stuff I like to talk about, and I know these guys got some things on their mind that they'd like to talk about. We've got Honorable Knight Justin in here, and Kent, doggone it, Thomas Anderson.
Thomas A. Anderson,
Muddy Mud Man, of course, old King Shaziz, the terrible who rules with an iron fist. My raggedy old kingdom. Anyway, this.
You're saying that that fist is made of pudding and iron.
Yeah, it's a mutiny, man. Anyway. Like I said, we got a lot of that stuff going on behind the scenes, and there's a lot of good alternative energy research behind the scenes, a lot of alternatives to everything that is the system that we all despise, because it just doesn't seem to work. You know, I keep saying that each and every one of you out there are a gear in the machine, and each and every one of you are valuable. We need your talents, we need you. We all need to work together in order to make something happen. You know, all over this world right now, the Mother Nature's kind of shaking things up a bit. You know, you got a few volcanoes popping off everywhere and some doggone earthquakes and such. And, you know, it could very well be an apocalyptic scenario. Who knows? We don't know what tomorrow's going to bring. And the best thing I could say is that in the meantime, we at least need to work together, and especially if something was coming down the line. You know, it's blatantly obvious. All you got to do is watch all the doggone apocalyptic doomsday movies, and you can see there's one thing that stands true in every single one of these movies. The government always covers the government's behind, but they never tell the people. And it's all under the guise of, if we tell the people, they'll get all rowdy and tear everything up. Well, if it's going to get tore up anyway, I'd expect that it'd probably be better to be honest to the folks out there and say, we got a problem, we need to resolve this. And try to save everybody that you can instead of just a select few. You know, you're going to have to play a lottery in order to see if you're going to survive or not, you know? And who's the one...
There are no Morpheus.
Yeah, who's the one that decides, you know? The government going to decide whether you're worthy or not to live or your collateral damage, you know? And when I watch movies like that, it kind of hits me deep to the core because... There's a lot of people going along about the business that just average day life haven't even got a clue that something might be on the way, and then they, you know, they end up seeing this giant wall of water or a meteor falling from the sky. You know, it's not far from reality. A lot of folks out there in war-torn zones have no idea that a bomb's getting ready to land in their neighborhood. And so they're going about their business, just trying to survive in the world, and then next thing you know, some unmanned drone flies along and just makes a mess out of everything that they had. Well, one of these days...
Don't you think it's a little strange that the things that we never had to worry about before, all of a sudden in the last few years, it's basically all we worry about?
Yeah. Well, here's the thing, buddy. You know, for us that live over here in the United States, and even Canada for that matter, and some of the other nations of the world, we don't really, you know, I'm not looking out my window and seeing a war zone yet. But we don't really see all the tragedies of the world. We just hear about them via either the mainstream media or the alternative media or research that we've done. But that doesn't mean that we don't care about those people on the other side of the planet. We do. And because if that was me on the other side of the planet, I would hope that somebody on my side of the planet would care enough to try to say, you know, hey, is there something I can do for you, you know? And I went to a church one time and I talked to some folks that were heading off to Israel. And I talked to them about getting some school books over to some folks over there in the Gaza Strip. Now, of course, it turned out that the guy that was trying to get us to send him money instead of school books was just trying to scam us. But either way,
I remember that guy.
The conversation still occurred, and I talked to this lady, and when is there any way that when you get over to Israel that you could get me in contact with somebody who knows the laws over there that could get some school books into the children over there in Gaza Strip? Now, keep in mind, this is supposed to be a Christian lady that's supposed to be trying to, you know, preach the gospel and that kind of stuff. Well, she kind of looked at me like, you know, I just... talked about, you know, trying to save Satan's life or something, and I look back at her and I give her a weird look like, you know, I can't believe you're looking at me like that. And I said, you know, there's a war going on over there, but the children aren't at fault. The children aren't the ones that are doing this, you know. And so they're, even in your enemy's camp, they're still innocent people. You know what I'm saying? And so, if there was definitely a need over there for school books or food or clothing, you know, well, where is the mercy in people's hearts to think that, you know, just because somebody might be Russian or Iranian or Iraqi or whatever, you know, that everybody in that town is bad. It's kind of like the way that they paint America as a wide brush, you know, because America supposedly, according to a lot of people in the world, is the great Satan. Well, I know a lot of good Americans. I know a lot of good Christian folks that love one another and they help each other out and that kind of stuff. They're not what people say that America is. Just like there's a lot of good Russians out there, there's a lot of good Chinese out there, and Japanese, and people of all races and all different nations. And so, you know, therein lies the whole key to everything that we talk about here on this Knights of the Round Table, is the fact that when you look out there in the world and you see all this tragedy going on and you hear about all these different things, I'm talking about the man-made stuff, not the volcanoes and stuff erupting, because we're not in charge of nature. What I'm talking about is the dangers that the mankind brings upon each other, the races, the divide and conquer, the hatred that they have for one another. That is not representative of the majority of all the people of this planet. That's of a minority. You know, back in the Civil War, very few people even fought in the Civil War. It was a small, tiny bunch of people that on each side that fought, as opposed to the entire population. And during the slavery days, there wasn't everybody out there had slaves. It was the individuals out there that were trying to free them and trying to hide them. That's where you hear the whole story about the Underground Railroad and the hidden rooms inside of houses was good people, good Christian folks and Catholics, whatever they were. They wanted to do something good to help these people because what they saw happening to another human wasn't right. There were in every single tragedy, every single atrocity ever put out there, in Nazi Germany, in America, there were people out there that were not in agreement with what was going on, and they tried to, behind the scenes, at the risk of their own safety and life, tried to do something about it. And so what I'm trying to point out to the world is that this world, as bad as it may seem, you're going to find more good in this world if you actually look for it. You know, if you pay attention to what's going on, evil isn't the minority or majority. Evil is the minority. And you can see that. Everybody out there has the potential to be either, you know, the best person in the world or the worst person in the world. And so with that said, we try to bring everybody together here on the Knights of the Round Table. And we try to use all of our research and knowledge that we've acquired throughout all the times that we've been together and before to bring it to the table to show you that you have options out there in this world. There are ways in which you can generate electricity. There's ways in which you can grow your own food. In the worst possible scenarios, there's ways that you can filter your water. There is so much. We live in a vast sea of knowledge that I have a piece in my mind, and Muddy's got a piece in his mind, Justin has a piece in his, and Thomas has a piece in his, and so on and so forth. All these radio hosts out here that do all this stuff for free, you know, they're not getting paid a wage to do this. They're doing it out of the kindness of their heart because they believe in the ultimate dream of bringing about a better world, if not for our generation, but for the generations to come. And not each of us, probably not any of us, will ever live long enough to see the fruits of our labor come to fruition, to where we get to enjoy those fruits that we have planted the seeds for. But before I got here, and before Thomas and Justin and Muddy got here, there were other good people just like us who went out and fought for truth and justice. There were other people like us who opposed war efforts and so on and so forth. There were good people who laid the paving stones that gave us the opportunity to sit here and say what it is that we're saying without the fear of retribution from our government. Now it's getting to the point where some people believe that our government's trying to pretty much shut us all up. And there are people out there who believe that the ends justify the means. And there are actually Americans out there who believe that bringing about order out of chaos, you know, and the ends justify the means on top of depopulating the planet and such is a good thing, because nature or man is a blight on nature. Nature's the disease, or man's the disease, and nature is the god of the world. Well, if you take and use that mindset, now you got to make a huge decision. You got to decide who's worthy to stay in your world and who's not. Do I go? Because I'm old?
Wanting to make those decisions sure aren't willing to step up and jump off a cliff or something to eliminate themselves.
They're
still willing to push other people off that cliff, though. And it reminds me of that quote, everybody wants to go to heaven, but nobody wants to die.
Yeah. You're right, brother. Yeah, and that's a good quote. You know, like I said, they're not volunteering their families to step up for the whole depopulation plan. They're not the congressmen and senators. How many times have you heard either a Democrat or a Republican saying something about the opposite side that, oh, well, you're a draft dodger. You went to Canada so you didn't have to go to war and stuff, you know. So why should you be president or whatever, you know. The government out there, they know the ins and outs of wars. And the very last thing they're going to do is send their family into a mess. It's kind of like the whole insider trading thing. If you know a certain law is going to pass, you go out and buy some stock, you know, and suddenly get rich. It's kind of ironic that there's a lot of rich congressmen and senators and governors and mayors and so on and so forth. You see what I'm saying?
But the way the system's rigged, even if they get in not being rich, it won't be long before they will be rich, and by that at that point, then they're going to be contaminated.
Yeah, you're either rich, corrupt, or dead. Or in jail for something you done. See, that's why I think that they don't mind whether or not a congressman has a criminal record behind him, and they get him in there because that's something you can hold over his head. If nobody knows about the criminal record, you know, you got something to hold over him. If you know about his dirty deeds, which you know the CIA and all them guys, they go around spying on each other. They know who's done what and whatever. Yeah, you do what we say or we out you to the public, you know. We'll throw you to the woods.
Yeah, that harkens back to what I said before about laws not being made to stop people from doing things. Laws are made to make criminals of people. That way you can then hold that over their head and make them do what you want.
Well, I literally had a state highway patrolman during a racial profiling class down in the town that I was working in tell me that by 2014 by 2014 the majority of the population will be on paper and those who aren't on paper will be watched by those or vice versa. So essentially, if you didn't have a criminal record, you would be the one that would be watching the ones who did have a criminal record. And of course, what he was trying to explain to me was the fact that just about everybody and his brother that you will ever see in your daily life will have some sort of criminal record before it's all over with, and that is the way that the system has been designed. And, you know, because the law says ignorance is no excuse to the law. You don't have to know you're breaking the law to break the law. You know, there's laws that are on the books, and if you're supposed to know, you know. Otherwise, you know, it's like implied consent. Because it's on there, it's been passed, it's been publicized or published or whatever, you should be up on the law.
Yeah, it's been on record. It's been on record and in public display on that fourth level of the sixth room on the, down that aisle in the back of that storage room down on the fourth level of the basement the whole time. How could you not see it?
Yeah, and subsection A, article B under the fine print in paragraph C, dash 1 and 2 and 3.
For anyone who doesn't know, I was basically making a paraphrased reference to The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy.
Yeah. Well, that's how ludicrous it is. That's kind of why I think I like the whole story lady, because her stories are something else.
Yeah, I enjoyed them. There's over 360 of those.
Wow. Well, you should get a copy of them all.
I do.
Anyway, you know, like I said, people, we could really use your help. We'd like to see more people in chat rooms, you know. Come over to ShazizRadio.com /superchat.html and show your support. Even if it's just to stop in for a minute and say you heard us on an iPod somewhere or cell phone, just let us know that you're listening, because it really is something behind the scenes whenever you know you're doing some work for the people, that when you're recognized to the extent that people say, you know, hey, I appreciate what you said or heard on there. And there's a lot of podcasts that are up there that you can download and pass on to your friends and listen to. And if you like what we're doing and believe in, you know, the dream, then, you know, help support us. Throw us a link out there on Facebook or on your YouTube channel or whatever, you know, and tell them, you know, there's some folks out here. It's not just our network. If you don't come to our network, there's multiple other networks out there. There is an alternative media. There's a grassroots growing exponentially all over the place. Since we started this deal, we started off at one network that got chopped into two and then went over to three and four and whatever. Every time we kind of got chopped up, we ended up growing even farther, and then there were other networks of like minds who were doing the same thing. We're just trying to give you...
You're starting to sound like Hydra from Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yeah.
Chop off my head, another grows back.
And that's what...
They're the bad guys, though. We don't want to be associated with them. We know how ideology goes. So.
No, we're talking about, like, you know, the whole united we stand and divided we fall, you know? Because...
Well, and those people aren't stopping in to help you. They're not stopping in to help money. They're not stopping in to help me. They're stopping in to help themselves. Because this is a collective effort to solve problems that everyone has.
That's right. All
you
of this
may not be aware that you have it yet because you're insulated. If you have money and you have, you know, resources, sooner or later that stuff's going to run out, though. And somewhere down the line, you're going to be needing the same help that everyone else needs. So ultimately, you're helping yourself, too, to make sure you never have to face that.
And another thing is, in hopes that if we ever do have a major disaster, that you guys are at least knowledgeable in something, in some aspect. Because think about this for a second. You know, not everybody's a welder, not everybody's a plumber or an electrician, but, you know, in your general vicinity, your own little circle there of your life, there's somebody in every trade out there. And if a worst case scenario comes around, would you know who the plumber was? Would you know who the electrician was, or the person that knew about medicine or how to grow food? And these are the things that we try to put out there so that you start building these before a problem happens. And if there's something that you've heard on one of these shows, whether it be the Mad Science Show or the Knights of the Round Table or any of the other shows out there, even Muddy Radio, the story lady, you know, you know about a cheese and a frog sandwich. I mean, that could come in handy someday, you know. If nothing else, to keep you smiling in worst case scenario. You know, laughter is good medicine, and there's going to probably be some hard times ahead that if we keep staying on the path that humanity's on, that, you know, something as simple as laughter could be the little driving force that keeps you motivated enough to go on. You know, that's what we're all hoping for.
You heard the one about the tailor, right?
No, tell us.
The tailor, one day he was eating a sandwich, and seven flies were landed on the sandwich, so he smacked them. And on his belt he wrote, I killed seven in a blow. And basically everybody heard about it, and the story grew to where he was a giant killer. He killed seven giants in one blow. So after a while, a giant came into the land, and he went out into the street. He says, I am a great giant killer. I killed seven in a blow. And the giant left. The town partied. And later on, the giant came back with eight of his buddies.
Oh, man. There was that one about, doggone it, the emperor that had no clothes.
Yeah, the emperor's new clothes. Yeah.
Yeah, whatever. Anyway, you know, hey, there's a lot of things going on in this world, and I think, you know, sometimes I get so doggone discouraged that I'm just ready to bail, man, because it seems like you know, the floodgates are open. You ever had those one of those days where you get up in the morning and the very first thing you either do is either stub your toe, spill your coffee, and then it just seems to domino throughout the entire day. Something going wrong. Something breaks down, or somebody's mad, or there's some drama going on, and you're like, can I just have one aggravation-free day? You guys have days like that?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Well, that's...
I tried to catch me some sleep last night. It's one of the reasons why I wound up... I know I'm on vacation, but I went ahead and did Muddy Radio anyway. I went to sleep right around 12 o'clock. It was storming out. Probably a supercell. Who knows? But we had an electrical storm. And I went to sleep several times and got woken up by the lightning. One time the lightning was so close... it woke me and like scared me completely off the couch, but I'm proud to say I didn't wet my pants. I'm a big boy now. I have graduated. And after that one, I said, that's it. So I replugged in everything because it seemed to get quiet probably minutes after that. I got back in and got to trade a little cryptocurrency, and then I decided, it's real close to Muddy Radio time. Let's do it. So.
Man,
I'm glad I did.
When you're talking about that rain that was going on last night, me and my wife were sitting on the couch, and you know what an A-10 Raptor sounds like when it's flying low over the house?
Yeah, I used to live I lived on Langley Air Force Base, and then just outside the gate, so yeah.
Yeah, well, I heard that identical sound last night, but it wasn't an A-10 Raptor. It sounded like it was like 5 feet over the house, you know. It turned out that it was a downpour.
It was a what?
It was a downpour. I mean, there was so much water coming out of the sky, it was just crazy. I never, ever seen it rain that hard before in my life. I mean, it just like the cloud came over, the little guy in the cloud pulled the quick dump lever and just dropped it all in one shot. Wow.
Have you ever heard a tornado in real life?
No, I never heard a tornado. I heard the sound sort of like a train, but this was like...
Have you ever stood next to a train while it's starting to take off?
I think once or twice.
It sounds exactly like that, except you feel the air along with its rhythm. That, you know, you feel the air go to vacuum and pressure very quick.
Well,
it's a wise thing to open a window or two, a few cracks.
I don't know that this was a tornado, but I do know somebody threw the quick dump lever on the cloud and dropped it all in one shot, man. It's like somebody's getting lazy and didn't want to, you know, kind of sprinkle a little bit here and there. Just say, hey, look, there's Shaziz's house, and whoosh.
You ever notice how the weather lately in places where it rains a lot don't get much rain, and the places where it hardly ever rains has got flooding?
Yeah. Well,
I'm glad to be on the second highest hill around, because for over a month we've got more rain than we needed. The riverbed out here at their great Brazos River, you used to be able to go down there and get free breakdancing lessons from the fish in the riverbed. Now you can't even sit on a dock without getting your butt wet, and that's only over a month, you know?
Well, I hate to toot my own horn and say I told you so, but I did a video back in 2011, I think it was, the Earth Tilted, and I told everybody this kind of stuff was going to be going on. We are going through a whole lot in all at one shot. We've got solar cycles and lunar cycles and a new tilt of the Earth going on and crazy, you know, stuff going on. Not to mention the fact that, you know, whether you believe in geoengineering or not, people out there modifying the weather or tinkering around with the weather, it's still, there is a document out there called Owning the Weather by 2025, which means they talk about trying to weaponize the weather. You know, you can't move your army tanks if you're stuck up to your neck in mud.
That's right.
You know, maybe it's a conspiracy theory or whatever. I don't know. It doesn't even matter. Regardless,
I want one of them. I want one of those solar cycles.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
Anyway, we just turned the Electron 2 into one. But anyway, Boomer is the only one I'm really happy about. He timed 7 years of El Nino. He knew this was the year, so all year he's been buying up these boats and going on Craigslist looking for the free list, and people say, come take the boat. He's been fixing them up, and gosh, he's more than tripled his money and still more boats. So.
That's cool. Well, you know,
very smart.
That's kind of brilliant, because it's kind of looking ahead. You know, I don't understand why in the society that we live in today, why people don't, before they actually move into an area, do some serious research about whether or not it's flood prone or tornado prone or whatever, and then build their homes and vehicles accordingly, you know? We've had technology to literally build cars that drive in water. Do you remember the old aqueducts?
Yeah, and those
VW Beetles, man. If you're careful when you drive onto a placid, you know, flat lake of water, you can actually drive the old 68 Beetles across it, because the whole bottom of it is just basically two plates sealed up across the bottom.
Yeah, as long as it ain't rusted out, you're good to go.
Yep.
But, you know, the whole thing is, what frustrates me about this whole scenario is we got the capabilities of literally building houses that are literally indestructible. I mean, think about a carbon fiber house or something like that that was watertight. It was built so that it was aerodynamic, so that the wind couldn't blow it over. And, you know, super strong, so whatever, you know. It's possible you could literally build a house that would either float or be just perfectly fine in an earthquake or a flood or tidal wave, whatever. You know, we can do it. It's not like we don't have the knowledge to do it. You know, could people afford that kind of thing? That's the key, you know. But there's where in lies the greed. People got to make money and so on and so forth. You know, but if we really were to come together as a society, we could ensure, for the most part, that the majority of the people in this world would be safe from that kind of stuff. You know, that's job security. You keep the fireman going when you build your house out of wood. Kind of a faulty electricity or smart meters that kind of blow up every so often just because, you know. And if certain frequencies are making people sick, why you got them near the house? Why you got them in the house? Why are you using them at all? The knowledge is out there. And to bring everybody to the table, whether it be here on the Knights of the Round Table or anywhere else in the world, just to bring people to the table and put everything on the table, start troubleshooting it, step back and look at the big picture, and I guarantee you, we got every answer to every question that we would ever ask. We got it. We got the technology. We've got the resources. If people out there in this world feel like it's necessary to go up and buy acres and acres of land because there's tons and tons of oil underneath the doggone thing so that they can get filthy, stinking rich selling you gasoline, they don't just sell the gasoline. Tires are made out of crude oil. There's all kinds of plastics and stuff that are made out of crude oil. There's so much stuff that comes out of oil that it ain't even remotely funny.
Yeah, you can even get more land out of it.
Yeah. So if we got access to all this exotic materials, aluminum, platinum, titanium, whatever, I don't know, everything, we know the strengths of materials by their structures, atomic makeup or whatever. We know that we can build things. Heck, there's some fishing string. Have you ever heard of spider wire?
Oh, yeah.
Man, I pulled in a log.
It's a steel cable about the size of string. It's stout, too.
I pulled in a freaking log with spider wire on my fishing pole.
You pulled in a what?
A log. A big, huge log. A tree that was under the doggone... Somebody had cut down a tree and a big log fell in, and I drug that sucker in with spider wire. Now, in the old days, the fishing string just would have stretched out and snapped. That just... I mean, it's so strong, you don't want to try to pull it apart with your hand, your bare hands. It'll cut through your fingers. That stuff is impressive. They call it spider wire. It's fishing string. And it has a small of like a like maybe an 8-pound test, that'll hold like all the way up to 50-pound strength or more. And I don't think they're exact the way, because I literally pulled in a log that probably weighed about 100, 200 pounds or more. Who knows?
Just hard to tie.
Yeah, well, my brother's got a nifty knot where you take one and you loop it around 7 times and then zip that thing and it won't come loose. You'll bend your hook before you'll bend break the string.
Cool.
But, you know, either way, you know, what I'm pointing out here is that we got the way to fix this world, but it's not going to be coming from your congressman or your senator or even your mayor or anybody else. It's going to come from you, you know, getting off the couch and putting down the Nintendo and the nachos and getting out there and doing something, you know. First off, you're going to feel healthier if you're outside and moving around. And talking to your neighbors, you're going to get to visit with them and know them. Worst case scenario comes around, at least you know who you got to deal with. You got to watch out for the neighbor on the right because he's kind of corrupt. You know your neighbor on the left is a good ally. Any one of you guys here on the deal think about that?
Yeah.
In your neighborhood?
I got a pretty good neighbor. I got a real good neighbor. Done enough favors for each other, and now he knows how to lay rock. And I tell you what, we live on nothing but rock right here. I spent like an hour trying to drive a piece of rebar into the ground. He came over here, let me try it. 3 whacks and that sucker was halfway down. And I'm looking at a thin man, I'm saying, doggone, I'm 238 pounds, and I'm looking at Mario and he just smack, smack, smack. But, yeah, I got a lot of faith in Mario.
Well, I think, isn't Justin the youngest one of us here?
Yeah, I'm only 30.
So, Justin, do you think about stuff like that? Do you know enough of your neighbors to know? Do you got any kind of network going on? I know you talked about you had a church that you guys was working on and alternative energy. How's that going?
That's going great, actually. We're going to put it in the newspaper and everything. As soon as it, you know, comes out in the newspaper, I'm going to spam that on my Google Plus and, you know, all the other stuff. And yeah, it's going great. It's going really good, actually. I just gave my neighbor a whole bunch of cucumbers and tomatoes and peppers, you know. Like, that's the thing. I take one cucumber at the end of the year. That supplies me with more than enough seeds for the next year, and I'm giving them away to my neighbors.
Well, see, and that's what everybody should be doing. Everybody,
everybody's boulevard should have a garden on it.
Yep.
It belongs to the city, but it belongs to us. Why don't, you know, kids walk home from school, they grab a couple beans or a couple raspberries or whatever from the boulevard, you know?
Hey, you know, Justin, you just hit on something that just, it is widespread here in the United States and not well known, that there are a lot of children that go to school that don't have lunches. And if they don't have the money, or their parents make a little bit too much money for them to be on a free lunch program, or even could be very well the case, they just forgot their lunch at home or whatever. If you had community gardens on the way to school, that little kid could cruise by there and grab up a tomato and stuff, you know, and at least have something during the day, you know, that's brilliant. If there are community gardens in every neighborhood, and the stores, worst case scenario, the stores went down, you know, everybody still got something. I can't remember. I think it was...
There's why you don't see it happening. They don't want you not having a dependence on that system. Because you're missing, you're only getting half of the picture there when you say, oh, well, if you had community gardens, there'd be food for those kids. Well, no. There'd be more than food for those kids, because if they're community gardens, that means those kids most likely have taken part in that gardening, and they know what's in the garden. They know how to handle it. This old man, Dino Favreau, he had fruit trees. He had 4 properties, and on the boulevards he had fruit trees. But not only were they just fruit trees, he grafted like 6 different types on each tree. So it wasn't just a pear tree, it was an apple tree, and you know. And on the boulevards, and the city come along, this was like 5 years ago, 6 years ago, and they made him take all these fruit trees down.
And see, that's
he
a shame.
He's been there for like 40 years. He's an old Italian guy, Dino Favreau.
I think
and the kids loved it.
Somebody, I can't remember who told me, but somebody told me, it might have been my friend Steve, said that there was a town that had a bunch of fruit trees out there in town, and the doggone city made them cut it down because of, you know, it was too much hassle cleaning up the apples or whatever, you know, every year. But, you know, what kind of mindset would tell you, if you got a fruit tree in your vicinity, that's like almost like money in the bank, man. You know, you get a few people go in there and harvest out that, and you could either put it out to the homeless or, you know, maybe even open up a little stand and sell a little bit, take that money that you got to go, you know, fix your community up a little bit more. But to just cut it down, and then suddenly, you know, all heck breaks loose, and there ain't no food around for nobody, and you say, man, I sure wish we had to cut them apple trees down. You see where I'm coming from?
Yeah, I had a blackberry tree, or whatever, there were blackberries on a tree at the corner of my shop. There were other trees on the property, but it was at the corner of my shop, and it was a blackberry tree, and because it was at the corner of my shop, they told me I had to take it down. And I fought him about it, but one of my friends decided to cut it down and get the city off my case. But I love that. I mean, every evening I go out there and see how many more out there. And gosh, man, I mean, it's like getting a free pie every day. And, man, I just munched them suckers fresh off the tree, and I was feeling life energy. Man, you know, it's a shame because, you know, we got the cure for just about everything out here. If we plowed or rototilled the side of the road where we don't have pipes and all this other stuff, because in the neighborhoods like where I'm out here, and where there's not sidewalks, you don't have the pipes underneath the doggone sidewalk. You got them running in the middle of the block, kind of like laying, if you had a grid, you'd put the X to another grid dead center of the square, and that's the way everything normally runs. But man, you could rototill the side of the road, and if you grew fruit and veggies all the way down there, nobody would starve. Nobody would starve.
Thank my friends.
And like you said, what kind of people think you take down trees like that? The same people that figure we need genetically modified food to replace our regular food. The same people says there's too many people in this world and we can't feed them.
Yeah, they want to be able to control the food stream. I think my friend Steve just showed up. Either way, there's a couple really good comments over there in Shaziz's chat room. One of the things Stone Lee said, the hardest thing you'll ever do is love your neighbor. That's why the Bible mentions it so much. And then another was, he talking about how they have apple trees all up and down the street, you know, and that's a good neighborhood to live in, because worst case scenario, at least you got some fruit, you know, you could can up or whatever. And Hillary for dictator. Yeah, I think we all know who that
that's
is.
The average 12, 14-year-old when strawberries and raspberries are time to be picked.
Yeah, Hillary for dictator.
They won't even
said, find a dairy farmer, a grain farmer, an orchard, and you can make an apple pie. that's funny. The name Hillary for dictator. Anyway.
Hillary for dictator.
Oh, well.
Yeah, we got Steve coming in here now.
Yeah, if you have a beekeeper, you can have sugar, too. There's another thing, too, man. Look at all this thing. There's things that you, what do we call those, perishables or something like that, that like sugar, salt, things like that people take for granted, you know. You never think about that stuff until you ain't got it, you know? And so there's all kinds of different things, you know, out there in the gardening world alone and in nature, you know. Do you know where supplies of salt would be in your own natural environment? I mean, if you're living next to the ocean and can't find salt, you obviously didn't pay attention in science class. You know what I mean? And, you know, honey for sugar or whatever, you know, there's a lot of health benefits in a lot of the natural foods out there, and that they ain't genetically modified or sprayed down with tons of bug spray and all that kind of jazz. There's actual natural pesticides out there. There's a link that Granada Steve just posted in the chat room. Incredible edible to whatever modern. Can you read that out, Muddy? I must be dyslexic.
Now, let me jump over here to it.
Incredible edible Todd Morton.
Yeah. dot u dot co dot uk.
Todd Morton. Yeah.
Anyway,
I have no idea what Todd Morton is.
I don't either, and maybe you ought to drag Granada Steve in there and have him explain himself. Either way, I'm sure it's a good link to some good pertinent information, whether it be for you know, alternative food, healthy foods and such, you know. That's the thing, you know. If you get in here and you start showing people how to live healthy, you know, that's what it's all about, living healthy, alternative energy. I mean, if you just supplement your electric bill, at least you're saving some money that you could take that money and reinvest it in maybe a garden and cook you some food or something like that, you know, grow you some food. So how you doing there, Steve?
Shazuz, if what Granada Steve put in there is what I think it is, as I understand it, there was an eccentric lady in a small village in England that just started planting vegetables everywhere.
Well, I like the way she thinks.
And as I remember it, I was looking at something a number of years ago, and they actually started planting in a cemetery, because they said, look, you've got all of this space, people come there for seclusion and privacy, for the grief and remembrance of their lost relatives, but there is no reason why the space should be wasted.
Yeah. Well, maybe she heard...
concept.
Steve,
everywhere can be a source of food.
Yeah, maybe she heard our Knights of the Round Table whenever you yourself and Dublin and I were talking about guerrilla gardening.
Oh, yeah, yeah. You know, there's still pumpkins growing in Cork.
That's cool.
I'm halfway around the world, mate, but they're still going. I've got guys that go up and check on them every now and again just to make sure that the, you know, the seeds get spread. But, yeah, they're still there. That's 3 years now. You don't even need to be there. Let nature do what it does best.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing, you know. How much does a package of tomato seeds or whatever, any kind of seeds out there, how much does that cost, you know? Put on your nifty ski mask or your ex-president's mask and run through the neighborhood and just start plugging holes with... you know, everything under the sun, anything that'll grow, food, you know. And people wake up and they're like, what the heck is that in my yard? It looks like radishes.
That actually reminds me, somebody came up with a mold for basically, it's like I think it was like a candy mold or something that allows you to make like maybe chocolate hand grenades or something. And they used peat moss and fertilizer and a couple other compounds and mixed seeds in with it, squeezed it into the molds, and made these basically dirt clods that looked like little hand grenades, and essentially dubbed them seed bombs.
Oh, that's cool.
And you toss them over somebody's fence, next thing you know, they've got a bunch of vegetables growing in their yard, you know?
Yeah, and if you got some DEA agent living next to you, you could throw some hemp seeds over in his yard.
All right now. We can get that stuff shut down here. Yeah. That's an act of terrorism.
Yeah. I'm educating my neighbor on all sorts of stuff, the aquaponics and all that stuff, and keeping them up to date on how to make bricks and stuff like that, like papercrete and stuff like that, because he's a rock layer. He's got skills. He's pretty valuable. But anyway, after talking about this aquaponics for so long, he's looking at this pool. Somebody stuck a foot through the side, and he says, well, take that down, put it over there, and let's start it. So I've got that going. I went and bought a bunch of... They actually have a 6-foot section along all the vegetables and everything at the Walmart close here, and it's organic only. And, man, I bought everything organic I could find there. And basically I'm going to go ahead and cut it, start cooking it as I, you know, because it tastes better. And somebody says, how do you know they're organic if it's not written? I says, because it costs almost twice as much as the other, because it tastes so much better, and it's got so much more vitamins and stuff in it. But I'm going to take those seeds, and I'm going to have a bucket for each one of them. My tomato plants that I started, started in the bottom of a milk jug that I cut the top off of, and it took over my window about 2 weeks before spring started. It took over my window, and the longest one was, it stayed there pretty close to about a month because it was still had a couple more frosts and stuff. But when I got it outside, the longest one of the tomatoes was 6 foot long and a little change. I had trouble getting it out the door and everything. And I've got it planted. Man, I've got tomatoes like you wouldn't believe right now. So, I mean, I've got at least 20 of them on there. I didn't count, but I know I got at least 7 clusters of them and more blooms sitting out there and all that. And I ground up a piece of chaga, and I threw that into the soil. Come to find out, chaga has an extreme amount of potassium. So I guess that's why the blooms are blooming so much. But I think it's great.
Well, I think it, if you grow more in your garden than you know you can use, it seems like it would be a pain in the neck for folks. But if you think about it, when it all comes down, last summer when Beverly was growing stuff, she was getting some huge cucumbers and peppers and stuff like that, and lots of tomatoes. And she couldn't give them away fast enough, you know. There's all kinds of people out there that could use fresh vegetables. And so,
right.
You know.
Next day you got enough right
now. Yeah. Hey, listen, man. Just keep in mind, too, that they have literally taken people's kids from them, saying they were submitting them to child abuse for letting them eat food out of food, vegetables and stuff that they've grown in their garden. So, you know.
Well, there's where the community has to come together. If you know that you got a good neighbor that is trying to live wholesome and having their kids have some good healthy food like that, man, if there's ever a time to protest, it's when the government's coming to get your neighbor's kid. You know, you put the line right down there. You draw the lines. That's the problem. Most people are living in fear of their own government. And if you got to live in fear of your government, that government's tyrannical. If your neighbor's in trouble and you know your neighbor and you know that your neighbor's not doing nothing and you don't stand up for your neighbor, then when it comes time for them to come after you, who's going to stand up for you? You see what I'm saying? There is a time to stand your ground. And the time to stand your ground is when you know that you got a neighbor who's a good mother and a good father, and there's somebody coming to get those kids because they say they're being abused for eating a homegrown tomato. You know, I would stand my ground. And if need be, you know, I would be the first one to start the second civil war over that issue, because a man's child and his family are sacred. And if anybody comes to get my family, as old and raggedy as I am, I'm going to go down swinging. And even if it's just something as simple as the last great act of defiance, I am not going down without a fight, if you know what I'm saying.
I know some Germans that are beginning to swing.
Swinging? Like fist fighting?
No. I think it's called wife swapping, but...
Oh, no, that's not what I'm talking about.
But if you're going to go down swimming, Shazid, please clarify the point.
All right, well, I'm going to go down fist...
I don't play that.
I'm going to go down fist flying and feet swinging in every direction. I'm going to go down like Knuckle Junction on steroids. You're going to see a wiry old-looking spider monkey just swinging in all different directions. Somebody's getting clocked if they're coming to get my kid.
You
know
are built
kind of
like a spider monkey, ain't you?
Yeah, I do.
And they'll shoot you and then claim that they have to protect themselves from you.
The good Lord molded spider monkeys after me, man. He said, look over there. Look at old Shazias. He looked kind of funny. Let's make some more like him.
I think there's only one of you, mate.
Yeah, the mold did break the first time when they built me, but that's all right. Yeah, that makes me unique. The doctor dropped me on my booty and put a crack in it.
Oh, my goodness.
Well, I've always wanted to be a billionaire. Then I can buy a new bum because mine's got a hole in it. Yeah, guys, when we're talking about, you know, healthy eating, I mean, I'm out in Asia, and I have access to a whole weird, wonderful range of God knows what. I mean, I walked through the supermarket today, and you could buy pig's face, pig's intestines, chicken feet, chicken gizzards, which is like the throat section of a chicken, and all of these bits of animals that we've been throwing away for a long time. Now, they're not really suitable to my palate, because I was growing up with a significantly different dietary interest. But today, I made chicken liver pate, and it was so simple that it's a 12-year-old could make it. You literally buy liver, chicken livers, you take off all the white sinew, you chuck it in a pan for a couple of seconds on either side just to brown it off, so it's a little bit pink in the middle, and you throw it into a blending machine with a small amount of butter, and then you put it into a dish and you stick it in the fridge till it chills, and then you're ready. You can eat chicken liver pate. And I was interested in what people thought about processed food, because when we think about processed food, it's factory manufactured en masse, in bulk, and they put a lot of additives and preservatives and all God knows what else in it. Not really for our benefit, but for storage on the shelf. So is processed food that unhealthy when you make it yourself, because then at least you know what goes into it?
I thought they just took all the preservatives and all that other stuff and added a little bit of meat or food to it.
Well, kind of. That's what I kind of get from it.
I'll tell you how to get people to eat healthy if you could get them to play a game. Get them to go to the grocery store, and while they're out there doing shopping, write down off of the labels words that they don't understand, like monosodium glutamate or red dye number whatever, and see who can come up with the largest list of whatever different chemicals, and then do a little bit of research on the deal. When they realize that whenever they go to the grocery store, they're literally walking through a chemistry lab. I mean, you could probably make some improvised no-nos with some of the food sources out there that have all kinds of different things that don't mix in there. And you start throwing that stuff up in your gut and mixing it with the stomach acid that digests your food and all that kind of stuff, and you got to wonder why people are walking around looking the way they do. You know, dark rings under your eyes could be something as simple as an iron deficiency. And so if you're deficient in iron, you know, you're kind of lagging. You're kind of dragging there. You're tired all the time, you know. And a lot of that comes from eating trash, you know. There's so much stuff in the grocery stores that aren't healthy for you. And even in the vegetable section, you know?
It is. When I used to walk into my local supermarket in Ireland, I was chatting to the manager there one day, and I said, you know, it's interesting that you've got a small section to one side which I would consider food, and this is your fresh fruits, your vegetables, and some meat. And the rest of it is just a complicated chemistry set for the benefit of large manufacturers.
Sure.
I mean, see, what is all this stuff in our food? Why do we need it? We don't need it. They need it to keep it on the shelf for a number of weeks, months, or years.
Honestly, that's more of it there, is that they basically tend to yank that stuff sooner than it's supposed to go in order to give them time to get it to you and have time to have it sit around so you can think about buying it several times while you walk by it before you finally do buy it. So they have to pump all kinds of chemicals into it to make sure that you don't die in the next 6 months from a lack of nutrition, so you can continue working, so you can make more money to buy more of that food that you keep thinking about buying, but you usually end up walking by it several times.
Yeah, so, about what you said, what's kind of creepy about that whole deal is that if somebody says, you hear it all the time, you're out with your buddies and stuff, and somebody says, hey, I'm dying of thirst, man, and the first thing they do is go grab a soda. And when you drink that daggone soda, because most sodas got caffeine in them, caffeine dehydrates you, and the soda tastes so good and so cool and everything that you got to have another one. You could probably drink 12 sodas and have a huge belly ache before it's all said and done and never have your thirst quenched. What's
Man,
wrong?
When you said that about going to grab something off of that off the shelf for your thirst and it was a soda, first thing that came to my mind, the first phrase that came to my mind was, it's got electrolytes.
Yeah. Well, you could use that.
For those who don't know, that's actually a phrase, that's a line from a show called Idiocracy. Yes, and that's probably the most accurate horror movie that is actually happening to us now.
Yep.
That you could find.
If you want,
we're going through it right now.
If you want fuel for your hydrogen cell, and you want some fuel that's going to produce a really good amount of hydrogen, you go to the store and you buy some carbonated water, sometimes otherwise known as seltzer water, and that right there, you throw it into a hydrogen cell, and you already got your electrolyte mixed in with it, and the electrolysis process begins, and you will produce a lot of hydrogen using carbonated water. Is that crazy or what?
Well,
there are metals in the water, and let them make it too.
Yeah.
The thing I like is if you take a couple carbon rods and stick them under water and hook it up to 3 car batteries, just get that arc going, you're going to make what is chantilly gas, liters per second, and it burns like HHO, and the byproduct is oxygen.
Well,
pretty cool.
That's cool.
Well, I was just thinking that there's a lot of people that are very interested in fretting, and if carbonated water can produce a lot of energy, then a soda stream is going to be a definite toy for your bug-out bag.
Oh, the chantilly gas actually has carbon monoxide in it until you burn it. And then basically the byproduct is mostly oxygen.
Well, I tell you, I've learned...
carbon dioxide is supposed to be bad.
I've learned a whole lot about different uses for things that would otherwise be known as trash. Go out there and look up... what you can use wood burning ash from. You know, there's like several different uses of one of which is making lye soap, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Man.
That, put it in your garden.
Yeah.
Make batteries with it. Ink.
There's so many things out there that literally goes to waste because people don't understand that it's got value. You know, the guys that go out there recycling and stuff, there's some folks over in Europe that were turning old plastic bottles into petrol. Alright, well, there has to be a market in that. You know, yeah, if you could recycle the plastic itself, there has to be a market
in
that.
No, you'd never be able to sell any of those cloth bags if you start telling people they can turn those plastic bags into oil and save the environment.
Yeah, you have to chop down
those. How many million square feet of plastic is floating around in the Pacific Ocean?
Yeah, are we talking about that, Thomas? To go out there with a barge and make a plant to turn it into fuel, so we collect it all and drag chunks of it back and go back out there again.
Well, actually, the trick is to set up 2 stationary points. And you stretch a net between the two that's rotating, so you're pulling everything that gets washed into the net back into one of the barges, because the ocean current will actually carry all that water and all the stuff that's floating around in the water into the net,
you know,
at the rate that the water is moving, and that will stop your opportunity for, say, you know, dolphins and other fish and whatnot from getting stuck in it, because they're already swimming faster than the current anyway.
You know, crazy as it may sound, you could literally build a island on that thing, you know, a floating island.
That would be the first step, is to just drag that plastic in, use concentrated sunlight to basically smelt all that plastic down and make 2 large
two large vessels that you can basically stretch that thing between, then you can turn those barges or those boats or whatever it was that you had anchored there loose to go do something else.
Yeah, you turn the barge into a like a tugboat to haul a big old boat that you made out there.
Well, guys, if you go by Wikipedia on their article about the Great Pacific Garbage Patch, they're working on the assumption that it's 2,700 square miles. It's an estimation. But that's about the size of Texas.
Wow.
All fused together would make basically a whole landmass that would rival, you know, Australia in size.
And you wouldn't need an anchor either, because the currents keep it at bay.
Well, using everything from basic science, it is fully 150,000% beyond a shadow of a doubt plausible to build a machine that you can throw your bag of trash in and it will separate every single element in that, including the scum that you can use for, like, maybe, throwing in your mulch pile or something like that, you know? Like what Muddy was talking about, whenever you put your black hose underneath that compost pile, that's what I was meant to say.
Right.
And so all the biological stuff goes into the compost pile, and all the plastics get separated, the materials get separated, and, you know, a little bit of ingenuity, you could make a mold to mold the waste plastic into blocks that you could use for some purpose or another. You know, landscaping for that matter. Might even be multicolored. Who knows? The hippies would like it. You know, they like the tie-dyed shirts.
Well, same plastic they're actually doing the 3D printed houses.
Well, there you go. So, you know, instead of wasting everything that we've already created, if you want to talk about save energy by designing a machine that will literally separate people's garbage. It doesn't go to the dump anymore. It goes to a factory where they dump the trash in there and basically recycle the entirety of the entire bag of trash, paper and all. And we
have organic. The organics turn into methane for fuel.
Yeah.
Paper, I guess, well, that's organics too. Or you can paint it or recycle it. All the other organic materials can turn into a methane digester. The plastics, turn it right back into fuel.
Yeah, and if you wanted to make a market for this, you could make home units. I mean, everybody has a washer, a dryer, a dishwasher, or a microwave oven. Why not have a trash compactor that recycles everything? I mean, literally separates it into its own storage containing units, and then they could turn around after about a year or so using this thing, take that off and make a few dollars off of their trash instead of paying the trash man to haul it off, burning all the fossil fuels that they keep complaining about and filling up the landfills. Everyone can have their own little recycling plant right there, and at the end of the year, cash that in, you know, aluminum already ground up and ready to go for a smelter to throw up in, to make some molds or whatever with, you know.
Little known fact, when I lived out at Langley Air Force Base and years after living out in Hampton, Virginia, NASA Langley, NASA at Langley basically had a big building. It was about three or four stories high, it kind of looked like a cube, pretty much in size, and it had a couple stacks. And you didn't see much, you didn't see anything come out of the stacks hardly at all. A little bit of smoke here and there. But what they did was take all the trash from the whole base and a little bit around the local area, and they heated and supplied the gases and everything for Langley Air Force Base.
Let me tell you.
With all the trash and sorting it out and doing that. And it was working. They did that for a number of years, and it worked great.
How do you?
And the filters were, back pressured and all that stuff collected, and basically that went to the landfill.
How do you pronounce entrepreneur?
Kind of like that.
All right, well, let me tell you about.
You mean entrepreneur?
Yeah, that's the one. Entrepreneur.
Entrepreneur.
There you go.
Entrepreneur. That's it. Well, there's, you're adding the manure at the end of it, you know.
Let me tell you a story about an entrepreneur that I came across one day. There was a guy that was selling burn barrels, because if you live out in a country, you don't necessarily want to throw it on the ground and burn it there, because then you can't move it, and you know, after a while you'll have a huge pile of trash. Well, so you go buy these burn barrels, and you can burn off your trash in these barrels and such. Well,
right.
The guy decided that he was going to sell barrels, and so he went out, he got the barrels for free, because people wanted to, you know, just get rid of them. Mm-hmm. He didn't have to even buy them, he just go pick them up. And so then he'd run an ad in the paper that he's got burn barrels for sale, and he would literally deliver these burn barrels and pick up your old burn barrel. And I got to thinking about that for a second. I said, what in the heck would he want to pick up people's old burn barrels for? Why would he want people's trash? Where would he put people's trash? But what I found out was, this guy was a genius, because he was making money hand over fist. Because what he was doing was, whenever he got the burn barrel back, he had a system by which he could literally separate it. And if you think about how many sodas a person would drink in a year's time or whatever, and when that's burning inside there, it melts that aluminum, and that aluminum falls down into the bottom of the barrel into these little ingots, these little nuggets.
Right.
And so he was getting stacks and stacks of these. He had one barrel that he just put all the aluminum nuggets in. He'd put another one that he'd put all the tin in there. And then he'd take it down to the scrapyard and sell off the tin and sell off the aluminum and the copper wire and everything else, that the broken glass. He even had a market for that. This dude was making a killing off of taking away other people's trash. He earned a living doing that. Isn't that cool? That's entrepreneur.
Entrepreneurial.
Yeah. But, you know.
Big English boy.
Yeah, there you go.
Entrepreneur.
Anyway, he made a good living off of doing that. And people couldn't understand what he was doing with the people's trash when he left. You know, I mean, they burnt it off. They didn't care. I mean, if the guy wants it, he can have it. But he was literally, you know, it's already burned off. There's no scuzzy stuff in there. It's just ash and aluminum and tin and copper wire from people throwing their old appliances in there and burning them. So he just separated the metals and piled them up into big old containers. He watched the market go up and down, as far as if you in the junk man world, you know that certain times the price of iron will be down or the price of aluminum will be up. And if you watch the market and you sell at the right time, you could sell your aluminum for a higher price.
Yeah, you can watch the price of your metals go up and down without even looking at the newspaper. Just drive by your gas pump.
Yep. And
the price of gas, it exactly matches it within a day or two.
There was a time when number one copper was going for like over $1 a pound. And, man, people were making a killing. That's when other folks started going out stealing copper.
$1 a pound.
That's cheap.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think it's around $4 or $5 a pound right now.
Really?
It's $7.
Yeah.
I've seen it hit $7 in Virginia.
Wow.
Off you, dude.
Well, I guess it depends on where you live on how much you're going to get for it.
Here's what you do. You take all your copper and you put it in one of them barrels, and you keep on doing it. When the barrel gets full, you pretty much got well over a few hundred pounds, and you probably take a forklift to put it up in the back of your truck. You take it over here and sell it, or take it over to Virginia and sell it. Then you'll get some money.
Well, the key is just put the barrel in the back of your truck, and when the back of your truck starts sagging, that's time to sell.
Yeah, the cool thing is when you get over 100 pounds, they give you a better price.
Yeah, and if it's, you know, different grades of copper or different grades of aluminum and stuff like that, you know, there's different prices. But, you know, there is a way to literally sell your trash. And so there is, right there is just a simple solution. We talked about... Go ahead.
Sorry to interrupt you, actually. I just had a... I put in a link to yourself and Muddy yesterday about metal alloy printing in 3D printers.
Wow.
I mean, there's 6 new alloys that are currently available. I'm just trying to find that link so I can drop it into the chat here.
Yeah, repost that, because I think I missed that one.
Well, basically what you've got is cobalt chrome, Iconal alloy 718, iron chrome aluminium, that's F-E-C-R-A-L, the chemical formula, stainless steel and 316 stainless steel, and tungsten carbide. And that's some of the new alloys that you can print with. I'm going to stick it into our chat there, maybe somebody wants to share it. Kind of a lot.
Titanium. That's kind of expensive, though. There's a whole article on how they printed a gun out of solid metal, and when they tallied up the cost of printing, like literally 3D printing a gun out of metal, it was in the neighborhood of $20,000 to $40,000 to print that gun.
Well,
so there's not much of a market for for guns that expensive when it's just a handgun, you know.
But they're
using brute force of photons to superheat the dust that metal's been turned into. So you have to pay to turn the metal into dust. Then you have to turn around and pay for the energy to pump into that thing, into that dust as you're laying it out and fusing it together with that laser, basically welding the material together one layer at a time until you get done with the production. There are some things that's necessary for these methods to be used because they just can't be made in any other manufacturing process. But if you can use another manufacturing process, you're better to avoid using 3D printing for that and go with the standard.
Well, this is a brilliant conversation. One of two things has to occur here in the next brief minute or so. Either we need to take a music break, or one of y'all need to be king for a while so I can go utilize some facilities, because nature has called.
Throw some music on there. We haven't had a music break yet.
All right. Well, I'll throw some Thomas Anderson Thomas Anderson music on. How's that sound?
Oh, no. Leave the gears alone.
Oh, God, yes. Oh, that is gorgeous. Yeah. I need a cup with the brown stuff, the shade of an acorn, made warm by the same source that I take my cakes from. Using a teapot, a mug, or fine china, been hooked up to IVs, need constant supplies, and a drip for my urges might verge on perverted, but for earthy brown tea, I'm certain it's worth it. With Sherpas who work hers and use a fresh fountain, I've discerned brews from Peruvian mountains. I've slurped up a cup from an elephant's trunk, with a couple of monks who are utterly stunk. I've had bourbons with sultans, and creams with queens, and I've bathed in Earl Grey. I'm really that keen, and missionaries dismiss me for my single epiphany. The dip between him and me is a simple sip of British tea. So when times are hard and life is rough, you can stick the kettle on and find me a cup. Now when I say Earl Grey, you say yes please, Earl Grey.
Yes please,
Earl Grey.
Yes please.
When I say Assam, you say lovely Assam.
Lovely
Assam.
Lovely.
When I say ooh, you say ah. Ooh, ah. Around the world in 80 brews to see the place it takes me to make a brew that tastes like the cream cakes made by angels do. I'm not the same as you, get shaky but aim to swig amazing fluids but don't make it the same. Now using fine leaves picked by pretty maidens in a bag knitted by a seamstress who lives in Copenhagen, brewed up in a pot made of semi-precious metal, let the blessed content settle in my very special kettle. Now when I say ooh, you say long. Ooh,
long.
Ooh,
long.
When I say herbal, you say no thanks. Herbal,
no thanks.
Herbal,
no thanks.
No. No, I want milk in it. Strong though. I want to see that spoon stand up.
If you're tired of tea, then you're tired of blood.
I'm madder than a hatter and it fires my mic. Liken me to Earl Grey, a Sam or Ginger, Lapsang, Souchon, raise my pinky finger. Keep your sodding coffee in a proper cup of coffee. Bottoms got me lobbing teapots to your Ponzi rotten coffee shop. Coffee clocks nodding off, lost the plot, sodding off. Need some caffeine tannin and a Battenberg to top it off. Cut them off a different cloth, a different lot can take their beer on 80 cups a day. I haven't slept for 80 years. You could say I'm mad for tea or just say I'm mad. Oh, you can't stay any longer. Oh, actually, I'm quite glad. All the more Battenberg for me. I can barely pour, my hands have got a bit shaky from caffeine. Oh, love it though. I'd sell my own grandma for a cup. Well, I'd sell you your grandma.
Hey, Dr. Steele, look at my new trumpet.
Well, that is a fine trumpet, soldier. Wow, strong, healthy lungs. Soldier? Soldier? Come on. Soldier? Hello? Can you hear me? I'm getting another call. Listen, soldier, just keep playing the horn and I'll get back to you. Sorry about that.
quiet all day, and then everyone calls at one time. Okay, let's see here. Tell me when you can hear me. How about now? Hello? Hello? Listen. Listen to me. Listen to me.
Listen to me. Listen to me, my children.
Listen to me. Listen to me. Listen, children.
Gather around, back at the center of my voice. There's girls and boys, well, you know you're the choice. And you can do for yourselves, or you can buy all my toys. Just drop down on the head, jump around, make some noise. I never lie to you, you know I die for you. Yeah, I love you too, because we will just do. Consume and gobble it up. Come on, show me some love. I'll be pulling you up.
And dancing, 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 d
everybody. You're listening to the Knights of the Round Table. We've had a pretty fascinating discussion so far. We've talked about all kinds of things, from recycling to the craziness of the world, and how you actually could make this world a better place with just a little bit of common sense and pulling together. You could actually feed the world. You could actually stop all the knucklehead stuff that is going on out here in this world. We got so much potential out here that it's just mind-boggling. And
it's all going to waste.
Yeah, exactly, man. I'm going to send you a link to that. It's gadolinium. I'll just send this link to the Wikipedia. Anyway, this says that the article has multiple issues. I don't know the research behind there, Thomas, but if you decide you want to check it out, there's a chemical that they use in MRIs that gadolinium has been linked to a terrible disease such as nephrogenic systemic fibrosis. It's like a painful, disgusting way to die. Anyway, that's not part of the show, but we were talking about that off air, so I was passing that information on through Skype, so you guys got to hear it too. Anyway, when you go to get an MRI, you got to be real careful about what they're shooting you up with, so that they can see your brain, because you may very well be allergic to the material that they use. It's like several different versions. Just like every drug has all kinds of different generic versions that could very well potentially be the same thing. That's one of the things that drives me nuts about the medical industry. You see a commercial come on TV, and you got some sort of thing going on with your body, and the commercial says, well, we can fix this, but then list out all the list of potential side effects, not excluding death, is what they say at the end of it. And I'm looking at that list.
Irregular erections.
Yeah. I'm looking at that list, and I'm like, my God, I'd rather deal with the disease than have to take a chance on all that. Man, that sounds worse than what I got. You got some toenail fungus or something, and you're going to die if you take this medicine, potentially. No.
Yeah. Just one question. Is death a side effect or a permanent one?
Well, I think it's permanent, you know.
There's probably not much coming back from that, is there?
No.
You'll be able to be buried without your shoes.
Well, I want to be buried
with... They call them side effects. That's a misnomer. That's the Hegelian dialect, the doublespeak.
I want
to give you something to save your heart that ruins your kidneys.
Yeah, there you go.
That's kind of important equipment that you need to keep in good order. And they want to charge you for the drugs as well.
Yeah, they charge you a large price for it too, man. It's because it's like, you know, this is rare, so we got to make it's a supply and demand, you know. So
you save your life or double your money back.
Well, pick your
out of unicorn tears.
I was gonna say the original price was too much for you, ingrate. So we've decided to run a sale. We'll double your order for twice the price.
Yeah, there you go. And here's the thing. We will destroy your kidney while saving your heart. But never fear, we've got a drug for that too.
I mean, 999.99. Get your medical insurance today, and they won't cover it either.
It's like when I did that video called Black Market Gas or Black Market Light Bulbs. Literally, I was talking about, you know, the tax system in the deal. You know, it's $99.99 plus tax. That's $50 for those of you who can't count. We all know how tax works. Anyway. There's you got to be careful out there. You go into the doctor, you know, get multiple, I'd say, instead of second opinions, get multiple opinions. Do some research before you do any kind of stuff like that, because there's a lot of potential dangers in what we would, you know, everybody trusts the doctor. Go to the dentist. He'll fix your tooth up, you know. He'll throw mercury fillings up in your face, and then later on you'll have brain damage and whatever kind of probably kidney failure, maybe your eyeball will pop out of your socket or something. But it's okay. We can fix that too, man. We got duct tape.
When people say you should trust me, I'm a doctor, I say to him, wasn't Mengele, one of the Nazis, a doctor?
Yeah, well, I never know. It's also all Dr. Frankenstein, too, man. He, like, chopped a bunch of old folks that was already gone to build somebody who he, you know, give my creation life kind of thing. So I don't know,
if
man.
You're from the UK, you might remember the name Dr. Harold Shipman.
No, I don't know that.
Euthanasia. He murdered lots and lots of elderly people because he thought that they were just a waste of society and he was better off if they didn't carry on.
You know, that kind of mentality, it's people like that to just make this world tough to deal with, you know. The whole, we got to depopulate the planet. You know, I hear a whole lot of youth these days talking about how the planet's overpopulated. And they go about the whole exponential growth thing, you know. If you put so many flies in a jar or whatever, you know. Well, if you put so many flies in a doggone jar, eventually they're all going to die. Well, most flies, what do they live for, 24 or 48 hours? Anybody know?
Any fly lives for 24 hours.
All right, so 24 hours later, they're gone anyway. But regardless, if you put too many flies in the dang jar, they're going to croak before that 24 hours is out. You put too many people in the world, they're going to croak before the world gets to the point where it can't sustain them anymore. That's just plain and simple. Nature's in charge. You're not. And those folks out there who, like Thomas was mentioning earlier, they're not stepping up forward and saying, hey, me and my family, because we care about the world, we're going to go ahead and give you ourselves, and we're going to kill ourselves so that you can live happily ever after in a world that's not overpopulated. It's ridiculous. And I don't care who you are. I'd even argue with my own mother about that. This planet could sustain 10 times the population that it's got right now, and I'll argue till I'm blue in the face over that, because I know the fact that if you get too far out of balance with nature, nature will balance it out. Nature will put a plague on you. Nature will put a storm on you. Some folks is going to die off, and it's going to be all natural causes. They ain't going to have nothing to do with wars and all that kind of stuff. It's just going to be like that. You know, if you ain't got enough oxygen to breathe, people are going to die. Period. You know?
Yeah. Kind of like when you got a cold, your body raises the temperature to fry the disease.
Yeah.
Global warming, you think, maybe?
Yeah, there you go. See? Yeah, you hit a sore spot on me, man. I hate that global warming thing because I had to shovel 20 inches of global warming off my driveway last winter. And I'll tell you what, you know, I wasn't too awful happy about that whole deal. I mean, I got some boots that were made over in either China or Korea or whatever. It says made in USA. Is it a district or something of USA?
Republic of China, USA?
Something like
USA,
that.
China?
Yeah. And
yeah.
Those things...
China, ROC.
When your tootsies start freezing up while you're shoveling 20 inches of global warming off your driveway just so that you can get to your motor vehicle that you can't even get out of the driveway, you know, I'm looking forward to the heat. And I put a video out there for y'all's safety, and I hope that y'all take a look at this video, because if indeed global warming does come to pass, such as what they say, you're going to need to know how to properly panic during global warming, all right? So
you
got to
get under that desk.
That's right.
Did you see the thing? There's a cartoon panel floating around out there that's called the Cold War Reenactors. It's just basically a bunch of adults in a classroom all ducking underneath their desks.
Yeah, in case of a thermonuclear device going on, get underneath the cheapo school desk.
Yep. I used to have a poster that said the best thing to do in the event of a nuclear attack is to stick your head between your legs and kiss your arse goodbye, because that's about all you've got.
Yep, that's about all you can do.
Well, man, I'll tell you what. the government, I'm going to tell you the stuff like that, get underneath your school desk and all that kind of stuff. I think they had that pretty much for everything, for earthquakes, for tornadoes, for nuclear disasters. Those school desks must be sturdy, man. And they used to be made in USA, but I don't know where they're made now. But, you know,
I'd say they're not as sturdy as that arch that you keep seeing in all the pictures after all those natural catastrophes over in Japan that are the only thing left standing.
Yeah. And you know what?
Even after a nuclear bomb drops, what's left? Everything else is flattened, that thing's still standing.
Speaking of made in USA.
Those cities entirely out of that stuff that thing's made out of.
Speaking of made in USA, the Chinese get a bad rap because the Chinese do make a lot of good stuff. And when it comes down to stuff, people are like, well, I don't buy that because it's made in China, you know. Well, their tools, they suck. If you go out and buy Chinese tools over here, they hold up to like Snap-on or Mechanic or whatever. There's several different brands of tools out there, Popular Mechanics and stuff like that, that are really heavy-duty tools with lifetime warranty. But the reason why that is isn't because the Chinese can't make good stuff. They want to make good stuff. They do make good stuff. But the corporations go over there and say, look, we need this as cheap as possible. So, you know, cut corners on the metal instead of putting, you know, some carbon steel in there, throw some aluminum and some tin in there and maybe some galvanized or something like that so it don't rust. And so the Chinese are looking at them cross-eyed like, okay, we'll make it if you want it, but, you know, it ain't going to hold up.
You got to look at it this way. Number one, if you're an engineer in China, basically, and you come up with an idea to go cheaper on this or do this or something like that, if it doesn't work, you are fired from the company and dishonored and like pushed away from, you know, from the family, and it's real hard for you to get another job, and basically it's hard to even live or find a job. So it's a scary deal. That's why you don't have new inventions. But they can take an invention from the United States and show how to make it cheaper. And you also have to look at it this way. Like you said, they want to make better things, but we figure here in the United States, if they can make it cheaper over there, then we're going to try to cut a few more corners to make ultimate profit, and we have it done this way. And that way we can blame it on China.
Yeah, and they call it planned obsolescence.
You have more upper class in China now than you have ever had before. And the Chinese do not want Chinese wind turbines. They know better. They want American-made wind turbines, even if it's a redneck turbine, because you can run over it with a doggone forklift, and it's easy to rebuild with probably a minimal amount of anything, because it's extra heavy-duty and heavy and all that kind of stuff. The problem is there's only three companies in the United States that actually manufacture their own turbines. The other 1,000 or so are manufactured in China, and they call it Made in USA.
Well, you know, for the betterment of humanity, why don't we, the people, kick aside the whole planned obsolescence? Like, such as a light bulb. There's a light bulb that I heard about over in Europe that's supposed to last up to 10 years. There's light bulbs that you can buy for a dollar. Everything a dollar store, you can buy a bunch of light bulbs for a dollar. Sometimes you put them in the socket, turn the light switch on, and you'll blow it out. You might get through three before one will hold up. And then other times, you could have the light bulb might last a year, you know? It's just
well,
hard to say.
Another subject I can jump on. I worked for Datatronic Control making message center signs, which use light bulbs as pixels. You know, kind of like pictures, words, and graphics, and the light bulbs made up the pictures, words, and graphics, and all that stuff. And they had bulbs that were to be like 100,000 hours. And you know what? I could buy brand new light bulbs at the store, and somehow within the month, the thing will wind up. I could buy a big value pack. It doesn't seem to last but a few months. But these old light bulbs that I took out of the sign and replaced on a regular basis, up to 777,000 of them, some of the big ones, double-sided ones, well, not 700, anyway. Paddle light bulbs in. You're looking at 98 across by 8 deep on both sides. And I'd replace those, and some of them were 3-line high signs, so that multiply it by 6 or 3. But anyway, these old light bulbs that came out of these signs would last more than a year.
Man, I've got,
I tell you what, I had light bulbs out the yin yang. I was giving them to my neighbors, and we never had to buy light bulbs.
I've got a
what
light bulb.
What they sell into the store is to sell that they put a rating on it that is virtually untrue.
I've got a light bulb that I bought at a flea market. It's an old Edison light bulb. And believe it or not, that old Edison light bulb, it's probably, if at the very least, over 60, 70 years old. Could potentially be over 100 years old. I don't know how far back Edison light bulbs go. However, I have this light bulb that to this very day still works. And I got it in a box all wrapped up and stuff to keep it from anything from happening to it. But if a light bulb like that could last that doggone long and still work, why couldn't we still make light bulbs like that today? This whole plan obsolescence.
If you shorten that tungsten element just a little bit more, you have just a little bit less resistance, and that filament gets just a little bit hotter. And just like on a stereo, if you take it to three-quarter volume, it doesn't seem to get any louder after that. You turn it up higher, and it just gets distorted. You're maximizing the gain and laptop in your wave. If you take that to three-quarter volume or half volume, that stereo will last you a long time. What they manufacture for us is something to put out at maximum, and they don't care if it goes poo-poo, because then they can sell you another one. Cheap. Yep.
Planned obsolescence.
Rather than adding another amplifier stage where they can both kind of just cruise and stay cool and do the job right and actually have a better and clearer sound.
Well, like a PA system that goes to 11 instead of 10.
Exactly. If you look back in the days of Jimi Hendrix and everything, those Marshall amps, tube-type amps, my goodness, they'd have an 850-watt amp that would do 1,600 watts. No problem.
And they sounded good, well, too, man.
Oh, yeah.
I was thinking more of along the Spinal Tap route where this amp goes to 11. Oh, my God. Perhaps they were trying to make a point.
Yeah.
Well, the thing is,
usually they just threw it in there.
If we're
I'll say 11, 10, it's all marketing at that point.
The thing
well,
is,
if you want to go that route, you might as well say, well, I guarantee you my amp's louder. How do you know? Mine's red.
The thing is, if the people out there want to get their money's worth, then the people out there need to do some research on where the stuff is coming from, how it's been manufactured, under what circumstance it's been manufactured, whether or not it was child labor or not, and buy accordingly. There's where you take your power back. I mean, you think your dollar bill don't have a power. Your dollar bill has power because folks want it. And when they start understanding that suddenly the people that aren't shopping at Walmart anymore, and Walmart wondering why, and people say, well, because we found out what you were doing. You were buying from countries that were not being very good to their people, you know? And so, with that said, I'm not going to support that. If you use your money wisely and you know what you're buying and who you're buying from, what's in the food you're buying, and so on and so forth, and buy from the people, if you have to, go directly to the farmer. You know, and buy it directly from the farmer himself. I'm sure he'd appreciate a few bucks right there. But either way, the people have the power, but they don't utilize it because it's too convenient to go to the fast food store and buy a bunch of trash instead of going over there to the doggone farmer and maybe picking up some fruits and vegetables right straight from the farm. You know, why go out of my way? There's a thing such as Quick Trip or Fast Stop. You know, I can just run over there and get me a soda and some chips and stuff like that. And then you wonder why you look like heck and you feel like heck. You know, the power is in the people. The power in the people as far as that, if you want to put somebody in the government to represent you, at least know who you're voting for. You know, we got two teams over here in Missouri. One's called the Chiefs and one's called the Rams. All right? Well, if you live on this side of Missouri, you're a Chiefs fan. If you live on that side, you're a Rams fan. But either way, it's still the same state.
Or a traitor, yeah.
We should be rooting for both teams because it's in our state. Whatever. No, it doesn't matter. It's the red team. It's the blue team. You're gonna vote for your guy because he's a Democrat, or you're gonna vote for your guy because he's a Republican. That Democrat or Republican that you voted for may have very well put something in legislation that has literally deteriorated your rights according to the United States Constitution and the Bill of Rights. And in other nations out there, you have parliaments and people who are in charge of your government out there who are passing laws and stuff like that. You know, Americans...
I heard about these Chinese people that went to a football game, and one team made, and the home team made a touchdown, and they stood up and they cheered and they clapped, and then the other team made a touchdown, they stood up and they cheered and they clapped, and people started wondering, they said, what? He said, we don't care what team makes the touchdown. We care about the excellence. That's what we cheer.
Yeah, there you go.
Sign your name to what you can do, or if you can't sign your name to your work, if you can't sign your name to what you state and what you believe, then basically you're doing the wrong thing. It's kind of like the Georgia Guidestones. Who signed it? Nobody.
Well, it wasn't me, and I definitely disagree with it, but what surprises me the most about the Georgia Guidestones is the fact that they're still standing. The good men and women haven't decided to take it upon themselves, even if it meant a few days up in the pokey, to go over there with a backhoe and a bulldozer and shove it over and say, you know, hey, we believe in freedom of speech, but we don't believe in depopulating and murder. You know,
well, I'm knocking it over. I'm going to sign the side of it and said, knocked over by.
Yeah. Because here's the thing, folks. If they got a sign up there that says that the world's population should be decreased to, you know, 500 million, and you know for a fact that there's almost 9 billion people on the planet, you have to scratch your head a little bit and say, oh, wait a second, let's do the math here. 500 million minus, or 900 billion minus 500 million, what is that? How many people have to die, and who decides which ones get to stick around? Who gets on the ark and who doesn't get on the ark? Who is worthy and who's not worthy?
Find out if you're one of the survivors or not.
Yeah.
Same chance.
Well, that sickens me to the core, man, because in all these apocalyptic movies that I've ever watched, it's always the same thing. The government is the first one in line for the goodies. Does that make any sense to you? If you're a servant to the community? Huh?
I mean, if you're going to elect somebody, then they take on responsibilities. That means they're important. More important than we are.
Oh, yeah. Continuity of government.
Isn't that fair?
Yeah.
I mean, seriously, these are the cream of our society. The people that, you know, the movers, the shakers that give us a stable structure of society that's safe to live in, where we can prosper and grow. Now, isn't there evidence of that in our current society, that the people that we elect give us a really safe environment to be in, where we can walk down the street and retarded children won't get shot by police for carrying a water pistol? Oh, sorry. I mean, what's going on?
Yeah.
These people get massive salaries. I mean, they're ridiculously large salaries and pensions, and when they retire from politics, they go through the revolving door between politics and business.
You guys take it over. You guys take it over and behave yourselves. I gotta sneak out.
Hey, be for me.
You know, there's this thing called critical thinking. If who you are electing are not providing the result, why do you keep re-electing them?
I don't think we re-elected them.
Well, I don't think anybody elects them. I think it's a popularity contest like the X Factor.
Kind of like you said. But Hillary for
Duke. Yeah, I mean, look at the UK. A couple of years ago, thousands of students went to the Conservative headquarters and smashed the place up. And they re-elected the same people that was a result of tens of thousands of people descending on London and causing mass violence, which is never good for anybody. That is not a society anybody wants to live in. Young people running around smashing stuff up. It's like the Clockwork Orange on acid.
Right.
So what's going on? Are people really that thick? or are they working on the assumption that there's nobody else there, so it's got, you know, we'll just go with the status quo because at least we're all right.
Well, I want to tell you why it is that the government wants to spy on you. Why it is not a conspiracy theory that the government wants to hear your cell phones and your texts and all that kind of stuff.
They love you. They don't want to miss out.
The simple fact is, if you're in a corrupt system, you want to hire people who are already corrupted. Because if they're already corrupted, you have dirt against them and you can get them to do things that they otherwise wouldn't have done if they claim to be a good individual.
You know, their morals are compromised too, so they're willing to do things that other that people who have ethics won't do.
Yeah. And so if they spy on you and then someday you get fed up with the tyrannical system and decide you want to get to be elected as president, they will find something in your past, such as in kindergarten you got caught flooding the toilet over in the bathroom or something like that. And so, in kindergarten, he flooded the toilet in the bathroom, you know. They will find everything there is. They already know everything there is to know about you. So that you, if you ever get out of line, they got enough dirt on you to just put you back in line, you know, threaten you, whatever. We need somebody.
You're really government property as of eating chalk.
Yeah.
Or just eliminate you entirely from the equation and put someone else in there that they can puppetize.
Yeah, we need somebody like Congressman Bongwater who doesn't care about his corruptness, you know. He said, if he's elected president, he's going to make everything legal so there's nothing he could be prosecuted for. That's the kind of guy you need in office, because at least he's honest. I mean, if you're going to get screwed, you want somebody to at least tell you the truth about it, you know. Not the surprise, surprise. It's just the way it is, man. But you know, it don't have to be like that. The whole deal is, people out there, they know the world's messed up, alright? Sitting around complaining about it on a regular basis isn't going to get anything resolved. If you want to get things resolved, you have to empower your mind first. First, the knowledge that's in your head. I mean, if I sit here and look at this panel, I can tell you pretty much from all these guys that I've talked to for all these years, you know, Steve, he has some wonderful ideas about gardening. All right, he's brilliant. And that isn't the full extent of his research. He has actually traveled all over the world and seen a lot of really cool stuff. He's an awesome photographer. He's got some really wonderful pictures. And I can't even say enough about him as far as a friend. He's an awesome friend. I mean, I haven't even got the opportunity to meet him in person. We've only met over the internet for all these years. He's been my wingman on lots of radio shows, and him and I, we just love to hang out together. My friend Muddy.
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
Before you get too much for the love fest, I might have talents, but I don't look good in a mankini.
Well, I wouldn't want to see you in a mankini either, because I'd have to like poke my eyes out with a stick or something like that and take my brain out and wash it with soap.
You go blind.
Anyway, you know, my buddy Muddy over there, you know, the first time I met him, I was inspired by a simple video that he did. And it wasn't necessarily a super simple video. He was actually showing you how to turn a doggone coffee can into a Stirling engine. I thought that was quite impressive because I had heard about Stirling engines. I was interested. And what I liked the most about his video was his meticulousness that he did, taking this time to actually do these video in stages so that he could show you step by step how to actually build one of these. And you know, his brilliance is one thing, but his comedy is another thing. It just, like, the things he comes up with, it just... He has a uniqueness of his own. I never knew about the storytelling lady, but after hearing some of that this morning, you know, if you listen to some of his humor, you know Muddy's heart. You know, he's a good soul, and he's a good person to hang around. We've been friends ever since the first time we talked on the cell phone. And, you know, I can't say nothing bad about Muddy either, you know. I mean, he's an awesome friend. My friend Thomas is like incredibly brilliant. He got the knowledge in all kinds of chemistry, and it doesn't go into that. He's actually into graphics such as he's working on a website that has castles and stuff in it. Castles always fascinated me. I love sitting there watching all this stuff going on. But his talents is not just that. He has made all kinds of really massive looking, beautiful looking artwork. He made these nifty steampunk goggles and masks and stuff. The brilliance in Thomas is unmatchable. Yeah.
Can I just give my own personal perspective? The conversation with Thomas makes you realize how much you didn't know.
Yeah, well, the same thing with you and same thing with Muddy, because every time we get together, it's a learning experience.
I'm sorry, but a conversation with Thomas comes with a certain amount of humiliation because you thought you knew what you were talking about.
Well, yeah, every time you think you got something figured out, Thomas comes by with some chemistry that says, wait a second, maybe there's another potential here, you know? And I've learned a lot from it. I had never heard about graphene until Thomas started talking about graphene. I never knew about Robert Murray Smith until I heard from Thomas Anderson. And so now I'm subscribed to Robert Murray Smith. I'm fascinated with his work.
When Thomas speaks, I take notes and try to study and catch up later.
And Justin out there,
good in the mankini.
Justin's the youngest of us all, you know, and he's brilliant in his own mind. I'll tell you what, I've had conversations with Justin that have just been simply amazing. And he's not the kind of guy that will stick to just what the school book says. He'll use the combination of thinking outside the box and the other to deduct what he believes to be what's really going on. And to his credit, we've figured out a few things in just the conversations that we had alone. You know, and so all of these guys here sitting on this panel, and it's not just this sort of small group. It goes all over. You know, there's folks in the chat room that are brilliant. You know, there's Stone Lee and Stephen Gibbons in there. They're always sitting there putting in some brilliant conversations and stuff. And Zeet's over there off of Awake Radio, and other ones out there, Patty and all them. They all got like brilliant ideas. They're all information hungry. And they're passing messages back and forth to everybody, pertinent knowledge. This is what it's all about. All these brilliant minds.
That's a good point as well, Shaziz, that there are a lot of people that don't want to be a public figure, that don't want to talk on the radio.
Well,
but they're quite happy to share their resources and knowledge with us.
And those are the guys in our chat room.
Yeah, to be an honorary knight of the round table, all you got to do is jump in the chat room and start typing in some links or comments and just, you know, get involved. The comment that you put in the chat room could very well be the answer that somebody else is looking for. That's the key.
Well, it's not even that. I mean, there's people that we meet in our daily lives that inspire us. That have absolutely nothing to do with us whatsoever. They don't even know we exist.
Yep.
In the form that we do, and I get a lot from that. So don't assume that because they're not part of our particular network that they haven't got information that we can use.
Well, that's the key. You know, all of us have talents, and just this little crew right here, all right, all you guys are not just one little single gift. You guys have a lot of research and a lot of hard work that you put into knowledge. And to put a panel together like that, you know, on the Knights of the Round Table, to me is spectacular. And if we go back in time and we look at all the people who's actually been on the Knights of the Round Table and the brilliance that had come out of their minds, you know, we had our occasional knucklehead once in a while that, you know, wanted to create a ruckus or whatever. But for the most part, the majority of the people that we brought from all nations out here, from Canada to Ireland to Scotland to Germany to Russia to everywhere on this globe that have been on the Knights of the Round Table, they were brilliant minds with brilliant ideas, solutions, actual physical solutions that could be enacted on to literally make this world a better place. What do you guys think? Nobody?
I think I'll forgive you for talking about me this time.
Well, I could have talked bad about you, old Muddy, you know.
Yeah. Knucklehead.
Oh, man. I won't tell him the tooth episode.
Oh, my wife's teeth? Yeah, those were great.
Because you have a fan? Dame Shannon wishes you to say hello.
Well, Dame Shannon, I love you to pieces. Where are you at? Why aren't you on this show, doggone it?
Yeah, she conveniently lost her microphone, and she needs another one.
Yeah, we'll have to get her one.
Because we need to get her back in here. We love her to death.
Thomas, let me tell you about the tooth thing. I can't help myself. It's funny. You there, Thomas? Thomas.
Yeah, I'm just listening.
So. I want to tell you about the Muddy's wax tooth thing. It was funny.
Oh, no. Wax teeth.
Yeah, one day I was talking to Muddy on Skype, and keep in mind, I never even noticed that Muddy was even missing a tooth, let alone knowing anything about it, right? Well, I sat there talking to Muddy on Skype. We had the video going, and I don't remember what we were talking about, but Muddy points up there and he says, "Hey, what do you think of my tooth, you know?" And he starts pointing out this tooth. And I said, "Yeah, it looks pretty good. What's wrong with it?" And he said, "It's made out of wax." And then he went in and explained it to me exactly how he made it out of wax. And it looked just like a tooth, man. And so when he told
me...
Same
color.
Yeah, it was. Matt's perfect. And when he told me that it was made out of wax, for some reason it just struck my funny bone, and a thought came to mind. I told Muddy, I said, "Muddy, you know what you need to do?" He said, "What's that?" I said, "You need to put a wick in that thing."
Brighten up the smile.
Yeah. I don't know. I kind of felt like it maybe hurt his feelings or something like that or whatever, but, you know, it just struck me funny because... You know, birthday candle tooth, that could be pretty interesting, man. It must burn your lip. Anyway, I had to share that with you, Thomas. So, anyway, where do we go to from there?
Anywhere you want to, mate. It's an open forum.
Well, we got 20, it's 26 after.
Well, so. Is that Shannon in there under Anon 4362?
I thought that was Justin, wasn't it?
She said never stop, or somebody said never stop Shazam's, never stop the Knights. Well, you know what? There's been a lot of wonderful Knights on out here, and there's been a lot of honorary Knights, and there's been a lot of people behind the scenes that actually make this physically possible for us to have this platform to talk to each other. And when I talk about this platform, it's not just Shaziz Radio. If you go down there underneath the Awake Radio chat room, which is in on the Shaziz Radio site, which is in the Super Chat HTML, you'll look underneath the Facebook share button and you'll see a click here for other radio stations. And on this other page, there are links to other radio networks.
Right, so, Scottish Sovereign, all sorts of.
Yeah, so we don't care whether you listen in here or listen in over there. We don't care whether they get the numbers or we get the numbers. This isn't about numbers for us. It isn't about getting famous. It isn't about anything but making our world a better place. And if something we say on this network, if some service we provide, such as posting links for a charity event or something like that, can help you out, that's what it's all about. And if everybody takes something away from the Knights of the Round Table, such as going out and helping the brothers and sisters and knowing who your neighbors are and doing some gardening and feeding the homeless and that kind of stuff that we talk about all the time, or something about recycling or alternative energy, if you gain anything from this, if only one person gains from this and has a better life, then I think that all of our work is worthy. What do you guys think? Nobody?
I think so.
Radio silence? Y'all are bad for radio.
Yeah, don't everybody kick the tooth on the microphone at once, he says.
Yeah, don't everybody rush to the microphone at once. You might chip a tooth.
I'm trying to give you guys a word in edgeways.
Well,
you gotta love it.
We ain't heard from Justin for a while. Did his mic go down?
No, I'm here. I just playing my guitar.
Well, play that guitar, brother. I didn't even know you played a guitar.
Yeah, I listen to you guys and reading and playing my guitar.
Well, pick us out a quick tune.
Treat. I can't stop, you know.
Pick us out a quick tune. Anything. Play dude on banjos. Play Smoke on the Water. Anything. I don't even care if it's just a Mary Had a Little Lamb or Twinkle Twinkle. Just pick it up. Pick something you wrote.
I don't write anything.
Well, just bang on the guitar then. Sounds like a pentatonic scale to me.
That's what it is.
Yay!
I played her out the blues scale all morning.
See that, man? See that? Shaziz knows a little bit about a guitar. You know what? I can play the guitar. I can play the drums. I can play the piano. If you ever,
we can do it all. We just gotta self-condition ourselves. Walk away from the TVs and the tablets and the bullshit. Oh, sorry. I forgot we're on air.
All right. Well, it's going to be slightly delayed, but I got...
You had to get me talking, eh?
It's going to be slightly delayed, but I got something for Justin. So, wait till it loads.
By the way, if you listen to Muddy Radio enough, you'll actually hear, or Muddy Radio Show, you'll actually hear old King Shaziz getting down with a song called I Can Dream.
Yeah.
You wouldn't believe the king can sing and play guitar and music and drums and all that stuff. That's the man you're hearing.
All right, well, here is for Justin's delayed reaction of his slanderous remark. Okay, come on, play it. Oh, I've got it. 1, 2, 3, 4. There it goes.
Really
faint.
It's going
out
over the
radio.
Can you hear it now?
I can kind of hear it. It's very vague.
Alright, well, it's an Ooga horn. It's a filthy mouth button that I put up there for shows and hosts. If somebody thought somebody's getting ready to drop a bomb, I'm going to have to leave this up while Justin's talking. Anyway, it's the filthy mouth panic button. And it basically, that's, you know, ooga, beep, beep, whatever. All right, back to, doggone it, it's got a mouse over, I just hit it. All right, don't touch that thing again.
Anyway, we got We Roar Radio. We want to give them a little bit of notoriety. Natural Health Radio. We got Sky High Radio. Online Radio 1800, Red Ice Creations, Dispelling the Myth Makers, Capricorn Radio, Liberty Beacon, PSN Radio, Scottish Sovereign, and many more. Just wanted to throw a little bit of that stuff there. These Changing Times Radio, which is now Awake Radio .us.
Don't forget People for People Radio.
That's right, and also we got Wake Radio in Australia. So there's many networks, and there's more that aren't even listed here, I know, and there's other networks that pick up the broadcast and bring it out. We want to congratulate them and thank them for their services and help spreading the word and the news to the world of things we can do, and we thank them for even liking us.
Well, see, and that's the key, man. They was even talking about it on the mainstream media, that the alternative media is kicking the booty of the mainstream media in numbers and ratings. And even though here on Shaziz Radio Network and all these other networks we listed, they're not about ratings and numbers. I mean, they like to have the people over in the chat room. So if you are out there and you're listening on an iPod or a cell phone or any other mobile device out there, stop by on ShazizRadio.com or AwakeRadio.uk whatever you want. Just stop on Shaziz Radio. We got links to all of them. And just say hi. Just say, hey, look, I was driving down the road, heard you on satellite or whatever, you know. However you're listening, just let us know you're appreciating what we're doing. And if you want to join us in, it's as simple as a Skype call. You know, Skype is a free program you can download. You can call in and you can voice your views on there. Just don't pull a Justin on us. It's all right, Justin. We love you. He said Stop talking for a minute. Let mic reset. All right, guys. Can you still hear me? Anyway, you're listening to the Knights of the Round Table. Sounds like Skype was sitting there scattering out there. Anybody? Step up to the microphone. Don't chip a tooth. Do I still have you guys? You guys are cutting out real bad.
I can hear you.
All right, well,
huh.
I don't know. Maybe you might have to call and recall. Sometimes you got to reset some of this crazy, mad science, futuristic, high-tech devices out here.
I will.
All right, next sound you hear will be Muddy recalling. Do-do-do-do. All right. Well, anyway, well, in the meantime, until he gets the phone back on there. There it is. All right, how about now? Can you hear me now? Doggone it. I got to shut that thing down. The filthy mouth button. I accidentally hit it.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Yeah, it's working. I was hearing you
perfectly. All right. Well, I don't know. It must have been something going on there, funky there. But either way, we've had a brilliant conversation, man. And
what I was explaining on shazizradio.com/shows and hosts, which is your last tab to the right, if you look down, if you want to spread some of the good news and you got something to share with the world, you can become a host on Shaziz Radio. Right down just below a bear, you look down, you'll see new hosts welcome. Click that button and put your information in it.
Yeah, there you go. Do we have one of that on Shaziz Radio like that?
Yeah, we have that. Right down below the bear, Animals of Asia, right below Hope Beverly podcast and all that, you got new host welcome. And down below that is the other radio stations to check out, and those are among the list that we were talking about a minute ago.
That's pretty funny because it seems the website's grown so much I even forget what's on it. Anyway.
It is.
Yeah.
Isn't it about time we had a bit of a refresh on the website?
Well, yeah, but my IP guy or whatever, my high-tech web development guy has been out slaying dragons and wondering about the land and such for quite some time, man.
Well, maybe it's somebody else's chance to shine.
All right, well, I could go at it.
Well, I was thinking somebody with competence and skills.
Yeah, I remember he got me on Skype one time and chewed me out. He says, you know what? That's a mess. That whole thing is a mess.
Has anybody ever looked at shaziz.com?
Yeah, there was actually, wasn't it you that told me about the university that wanted to use that as a teaching tool?
No, they do use it.
Yeah.
They actually use shaziz.com in a couple of places in Ireland as how not to build a website because it is psychologically disturbing.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's a great one. Yeah, just go to shaziz.com. Not Shaziz Radio, but shaziz.com. It is awesome. And I'll have to add something to that. There are secrets in that site. You must search around. You must figure things out, and there's a game in there. And when you finally win the game, you get some ultimate knowledge. So there's your goal.
That's right. There's a whole lot more in that site.
Intricate website, not just sparkly and dazzly. It's awesome.
Even though that site will give you a seizure if you're prone to seizures.
If you haven't checked it out, you need to.
There are things on that site that are right in front of your face that you you will overlook if you're not looking for them.
Yeah, you got to move your mouse around and find them.
Yep. So there's tricks to it. What'd you say?
In the Stanley Kubrick film, I think it was My God, It's Full of Stars. Now that's a hint for you.
Yep.
There are Easter eggs on that site.
Yes, there are.
So, as crazy and mad science as Shaziz is, there is a method to my madness.
And high-tech science as well.
Yep. I just want everybody out there to do something like, you know, not necessarily get on a treadmill with your body, but get on a treadmill with your brain. Exercise your brain, because your knowledge is going to be your power. The things that you're capable of doing are mind-boggling. You think that just because maybe you might be short and stubby or tall and skinny and maybe not the best looking guy in the crowd or what, or gal or whatever, that you ain't worth nothing. That could be the farthest from the truth. Because if you look at people like I look at people, you don't see skin color. You don't see blemishes. What you see is beauty. The thing that is the most important about what it is to you, what you are, is your character. It's your life. It's your love. The talents, the gifts that you've got. You know, maybe the only thing that you know how to do is make paper mache things or something like that. Maybe that's all you've got.
If it turns out good, covered with polyester resin.
Yeah. You take that. What you did with that.
In fairness, you this. Somebody tried to make me an origami ashtray once.
Yeah, well, you know, that's there are
and
certain things.
Out the fact that there's 210 degrees Celsius temperature in the end of a cigarette.
Yeah.
Making an ashtray out of paper is probably not the most practical option.
Now, don't make a paper mache ashtray or origami ashtray, because it's not going to function. That's where common sense comes in.
General Cigarettes put out a ashtray that was made out of plastic.
Well, either way, look.
It's a collector's item, actually.
I guess the point of the whole matter is this, man. Every single person out there is of great value. There's no price tag that you could put on what you have to offer this world. There's nobody worthless on this planet. Nobody should be even contemplating on jumping off of a bridge or committing suicide or harming themselves in any way.
Reminds me of my dog.
What you had
he's
to
ugly,
offer.
He's ugly as can be, and he's lost most of his hair. It's not mange. It's just somebody fed him too many sardines, and the mercury took care of his fur. He's ugly as can be, but he's so ugly he's cute. And basically his heart and the look, dumb looks on his face, I don't know what I'd do without him. I remember a time when we was having it just a little bit rough. He went out and brought us home food. He brought me home a chicken. Next day he brought me home a leg of deer. Because he noticed his food wasn't there. That's a smart dog.
And your neighbor probably said, "You see that mangy dog running off with our chicken?"
He protects all the children in the neighborhood. He's a welcome dealer, and people that just didn't know him because they thought he was ugly called the pound on him, and the pound told him, they started describing him and says, best we can do is set a trap, buddy. He won't go into it. He's too smart. We've been trying to catch him for years. Good luck.
Hey,
hang up. Yeah, go ahead.
Don't forget, there's good eating in an armadillo.
Oh, yeah. You'd be surprised what I've cooked. I've tried pretty much everything out here. I've cooked snake, I've cooked armadillo, I've cooked possum, squirrel, and they come out pretty good. The squirrel's kind of a gray taste and very greasy, though, and so is the armadillo.
Well, the whole thing
is there's nutrition and resources if you can be bothered to look for them. If you need to go to the supermarket to feed yourself, you're not thinking.
Yeah, you know, that's...
I haven't tried Roadrunners yet. I can't catch them. Although, my dog lays in the middle of the yard, and a Roadrunner will run up and just jump and stand on his belly and look around. Brahm will lift his head and look at him. They look at each other, and then they kind of just look around. Brahm lays his head down, and the Roadrunner takes off again. So, yeah, he's at peace with nature. He's a one-of-a-kind. I haven't tried no... Roadrunner, though. I know it'd be a fast dish.
Well, we're starting to get down close to the wire of this show right here, but do want to retouch on what I was trying to say there about the individual out there. You got so much to offer this world, and all those folks out there listening, maybe driving down the road or at work or whatever, listening in via iPod or cell phone or something like that, we'd really like to hear from you. You know, it kind of helps us out to know that other people out there are benefiting from the information that we're sharing with them. You know, even if you just like to tune in for the laughs, and if you're a scientist and you disagree with us and you just tune in to point out how crazy we are or whatever, come on the show. We'd like to have some mainstream science guys come on here and tell us where we're wrong in our ideas, or, you know, if you're a doctor out there or somebody in any profession out there that disagrees with something that we said in the alternative media, we'd like to come on here. You come on here and talk to us. Tell us how the system really works, or where we're wrong and what we believe. You know, we can have an honest debate and agree to disagree in a respectful manner. And just try. It's all about trying to solve things. If you think that we're wrong in what we say, then help us set the story straight. Because at the end of the day, what it's all about, it literally is truth. We don't want to put out false information. We want to put out the truth. The truth is best we can all understand from every bit of information that we gather.
Chastise a fool and he'll hate you. Chastise a wise man and he will thank you.
Yeah.
Even though he probably already knows.
So, we want to hear from you. If you're listening in via any of the other networks out there, could stop in and say hi over at Shaziz chat room. You don't got to stay or nothing. Just say hi. Stop over to Wake Radio chat room, over there at Scotty Sovereigns or any of the other networks affiliated. Stop into their chat rooms and just say hi. Say, hey, I heard you over there on that network over there. Love your show, or I hate your show, or whatever, you know. You stop in.
It's all information exchange, isn't it?
Yeah. Because when people are behind the scenes and they're doing what it is that they're doing, they would at least like to know that you either appreciate or don't appreciate what we can do better to help serve the community. Because in at the end of the day, we're all servants to our fellow brothers and sisters around. You are your brother's keeper, whether you like it or not. You know, the world that we live on is the world that we all live on, and it's our ride through space and time, you know. And when the boat sinks, we all go down together. So it's our hopes to try to plug up the leaks and repair this boat before it does go down, and to make this world a better place for everybody and the future generations to come. That's what it's all about. That's why all these brilliant minds come together. That's why all the research that they've done, we want your research to be heard. There's something that you got a talent in. And
Shaziz.
Yeah.
I read a story a while back about 4 or 5 years ago about a professor in a university. I can't remember the exact details, but the moral of the story was kind of a good one. There was a scientist that had based his entire career on a theory. He was a professor as well, and he taught in a university. And one day, a young man, probably 21, 22 years old, walked up to the blackboard and showed him where he was wrong. And the professor burst into tears. And he said, for 30 years, I've been waiting for somebody to tell me what I was doing wrong. And this is the best day in my life that one of my students has proved it.
Well, and that's amazing, you know.
Do you want to learn from a guy that is more worried about his funding or more worried about the knowledge?
I want to learn from a guy who may make millions of mistakes, but will stick in there, and in the process of learning mistakes is learning new stuff and basically learning from the things that went wrong and basically teaching the next person how to do just the same, using critical thinking, outside the box kind of stuff. That would be the best teacher for me. It's not mad because I pointed out, hey, well, you're wrong. You know, you don't have to be right all the time. You know, I'm not perfect. Nobody's perfect.
Don't get me wrong, in this story there wasn't a major flaw in the theory, but there was just that small little bit that was missing. And the young guy came up and he just stood there and blew him all the way and filled in the gaps.
Well, just think if there was a possibility for that young guy to come up a lot sooner, and the person that was the professor would have paid attention to him back in the day. You can learn a lot from your students. You can learn a lot from each other. And that's what we're hoping to accomplish here, to teach each other, to learn from each other. Am I wrong?
No, certainly not. I mean, the amount I've learned just through this network, and, you know, I've had my ups and downs, I've been good and I've been bad, and I've made people happy, and I've probably upset quite a few as well. But that's human nature, that we don't always get along. But I don't hold a grudge.
Well, that's the thing, man. We, like you said, we've been on a roller coaster of emotions. We've cried and we've laughed and we've got angry and so on and so forth. That's what families do, man. But we come from all different walks of life. We come from all points of the globe. We are those folks who some folks call the awakened, you know. We are awake to the reality that there are needs in this world that have to be addressed in order to make this world a better place. We have frustrations that we know that we should be further along than what we are. We have people out there that want their voice to be heard, and we laid the platform down for them to be heard. Now it's the time for you to go out and tell people there is a platform for them to be heard and to step up to the plate, step up to the microphone. And if you just want to come on here and share a piece of poem that you wrote, or if you want to come on here and sing a song that you wrote, whatever, you know. If you're out there to share it with the world, if you're out there to make the somebody's day better in any form or fashion, that's what it's all about. The Knights of the Round Table isn't about old King Shaziz the Terrible, or even the Knights for that matter. The Knights of the Round Table is about all of us. It is a dream. It is an idea that could stand the test of time if everybody believed in it enough. You know, we're not talking about a one-world government or a one-world religion. We're not talking about coming together under some sort of, one-world organized system. We're talking about a one-world idea that you carry around in your heart already. You know what you want out of this world. You know that you want good for your children. You know that you don't want starving children in this world. You know that you want peace and love, hope and harmony for everyone out there. You know that you want to work with nature, to work in harmony with nature, to have clean, free energy and alternative food sources that are healthy for the soul, nourishment, and so on and so forth. You have inside of you the same thing that all humanity wants. You want to live your life. Live life in love, and you want to live it in peace. That's what it's all about. And the only ones in this world who's ever going to be able to accomplish such a goal isn't any kind of government or any type of system. It's going to be we, the people, finally coming to an understanding that all that we have done in the past, if we look back to history, all that we have done in the past hasn't worked. It's that what we do from the time that the new sunrise comes up and that clean slate is laid down before us, that we take, instead of repeating the histories of the past and killing one another and stealing and being greedy and being self-centered and, just trying to build our own little personal bubbles that if other people's encroach on, we learn how to hate them because of their differences, whether it be racial or religious views or whatever. We learn from all the past mistakes, and we learn that the only way that humanity can ever succeed and move on into the future and become fully enlightened as to what life is all about is the day that we all stand up and decide to lay down our arms and our hatred for one another and do for one another, be the caretakers that we were meant to be, the loving souls, the friends. I can't say enough about the word friends. I can't say enough about the word family. I can't say enough about the word love. If we want to move into the future, if we want all the benefit, if we want everyone to be able to enjoy life and walk through their own neighborhoods in peace, if we want people to not have to lock their doors behind them because fear of their neighbor coming in to steal from them, and we have to start raising our future generations to respect and love one another. We gotta clean up the garbage. And I'm not talking about a book burning ceremony or some kind of craziness like that, because you can't bury the past. You have to leave the past there so that others can learn not to repeat it. We have what we need. Yeah.
If people want tomatoes, plant the tomato seed.
Yeah.
It's kind of simple. The way the world's going to move forward is, if you want something, take responsibility for it.
That's
all the
right.
time that we put ourselves in a position where we're reliant on others to provide the bare necessities of nutrition, of energy, of all the rest of it.
You know,
we're not going to move forwards. But when we get to the point where everybody, in some level, provides something they need themselves, we're all going to start believing in ourselves a lot more.
If you hold your personal self to a higher standard than you hold your brothers and sisters around the world, then you stand on a moral high ground that will give you the capability of literally leading by example and being that example that teaches and respects everybody. If you don't step over the miracles of life, the miracles that I believe have been given to us by our Creator, whoever you may believe that to be, there are simple miracles of life, a friendship, you know, and this Knights of the Round Table here are a miracle that we are able to do what it is that we do and say what we say. But if you hold yourself personally at a higher standard than you hold your brothers and sisters around the world, you won't be disappointed in their failures, but you will guide them towards their successes. And that's what I hope to accomplish here. And I feel like I can speak for my brothers and sisters here on the Knights of the Round Table that they feel the same. Am I wrong, guys?
It sure is.
Yeah.
A lot of the things that we need, that we want, or we might enjoy. When I say need, I'm talking about nutrition, about food in particular, because that's something I'm particularly interested in at the minute and putting a lot of time and effort into. A lot of the stuff that you can buy in the shop, you can make yourself for half the price.
Yeah.
But what's more important, the one-eyed God in your living area of your house, where you sit there and vegetate, get into an alpha state of brainwaves and become programmed? Or do you get up off your fat backside and make it yourself? Because it's not that hard.
For one, you can go buy vegetable seeds really cheap, but when you go to the store to buy the finished product, then you're going to pay a 300% markup at the very least.
She says you don't even need to buy the seeds. If you buy organic food, it's got seeds in it.
Mm-hmm. That's what I was talking about earlier.
What apple is six trees?
Yeah, more maybe.
Well, there you go, folks. We're down to the wire. Looking. Take some advice from Justin. One apple, six trees. Be a Johnny Appleseed and get out there and plant some apple trees. You know, plant some peach trees, some pear trees. Go out there with some vegetables and plant your neighborhoods up. Do like that lady in that link that we were talking about earlier that went out there and was planting vegetables everywhere. What's the government going to do? Get out there and start weeding and hoeing and mowing it all down?
What about this? You got purslane, which is a stupid plant that grows on the sidewalk near bus signs. It grows in the stupidest, hardest to grow places, and it's pretty much the only place you'll find it. But it is one of the most nutritional foods there are, and it's a weed. Check out eattheweeds.com. Find out, or look up purslane. Find out what it looks like. It will grow in your yard. It just winds up in the godforsakenest places you can ever dream of, and it grows.
A lot of people think
that their gardens are going to be taken over, and they say, "Well, you can't. Oh no, you can't have a garden." Learn what weeds you can grow and grow it freely, and they won't tear it down. Think of that.
Well, guys, we got 1 minute and we're about to run over, so I need to go around real quick we do this a lot because right at the end of the show, y'all get your second win, and man, we got all kinds of brilliant stuff ready for the next show. Well, I guess that's good because it's kind of like those.
First.
It's kind of like those episodes where they're like multiple episodes, and they leave you hanging at the very end. So hopefully that'll bring the people back to the Knights of the Round Table next go around. So who wants to go first, Justin?
Yeah, sure. A lot of people's excuses I hear with planting plants, as far as like raspberries, mulberries, and stuff, is, oh, well, I gotta wait till next year till I get anything. Well, you gotta start somewhere. It doesn't matter if you have to wait 10 years before you could pick an apple. If you don't start this year, then you gotta wait another 10 years, and another 10 years, and another 10 years. Just get out and plant them.
Brilliant. Thomas, you there?
Thomas disappeared.
Oh, we lost Thomas. Well, that's sad, because Thomas is a brilliant mind. He would have said something profound. What about you, Steve?
During the highlight of the Victorian Railways in the UK, they used to give passengers packets of seeds, and they used to throw them out the window. That led to huge amounts of varieties of wildflowers growing on the embankments of the railways.
Yeah, that's brilliant. I did that around my property, and every so often I get surprised by a new color that shows up on my property. I just took bags and bags of wildflower seeds, and I just started throwing them everywhere. I didn't even look. I just chucked them out. I did the same thing with fruits, and I've got trees popping up that have fruits on them. And so hopefully one day I can create my own little mini Garden of Eden that y'all can come over and visit. What about you, Muddy?
Amen.
Well,
shoot, yeah, man, plant it. Like I was saying before, if you till the side of the road, make a garden out of the side of the road. Yeah, I think it'd be awesome. If we did that, our world hunger would be gone. And, I don't know, like I said, go check out eattheweeds.com. You look at it, it's even on YouTube. The man tells you what time of year, what part of the plant, what part of it needs to be cooked, what can be eaten raw, where it grows, what time of the year it grows, where, and all that stuff, and the nutritional values, can you make beer out of it, what you can do with it, the whole schmear. Check it out. It's free. And when they come to say, oh, you can't have this garden, they'll come, oh, well, you need to go ahead and clean up your yard, and they'll walk off and leave you alone.
Well, right? Throw a link to eattheweeds.com in the chat room down there over at shazizradio.com. We're already over the line.
Green Bean. That's right.
So everybody out there, I appreciate it. And to the next host coming on whichever network, apologize for running over there. But it's just been brilliant. And basically, what I want to tell everybody out there, if you take care of one another, then they will take care of you as well. If you take care of nature, nature will take care of you as well. If you work in harmony with the people around you, your brothers and sisters, and you work in harmony with nature, nature will provide every single thing that you need in order to have a wonderful life. And it's as simple as that, folks. It's as simple as that. You work with nature, and nature will take care of you. I guarantee it, without a doubt. Eattheweeds.com, Shaziz Radio, Awake Radio, No Borders, TCT 1800, We Roar, and multiple other networks are saying pretty much the same thing. You take care of each other. You live life in love, and you be your brother's keeper. You be the caretakers that you were meant to be, and we can all pass something on to our children and their children that will be the most profound gift in the history of time since the Creator gave us what we have here at our hands. So with that said, you've been listening to the Knights of the Round Table. I want to say thank you to everybody, all the knights, the honorable knights, and all the honorary knights. I want to say peace and love to the world. Take care of nature, and nature will take care of you. Stay tuned.
Ma'am, sorry. What knight lives in that castle over there?
I'm 37.
What?
I'm 37. I'm not old.
Well, I can't just call you ma'am.
You could say Dennis.
I didn't know you were called Dennis.
Well, you didn't bother to find out, did you?
I did say sorry about the old woman, but from behind you looked...
What I object to is you automatically treat me like an inferior.
Well, I am king.
Oh, king, eh? Very nice. And how'd you get that, eh? By exploiting the workers.
by hanging on to outdated imperialist dogma which perpetuates the economic and social differences in our society. If there's ever going to be any progress...
Dennis, there's some lovely filth down here! Oh! How do you do?
How do you do, good lady? I'm Arthur, King of the Britons.
Whose castle is that?
King of the who?
The Britons.
Who are the Britons?
Well, we all are. We are all Britons. And I am your king.
I didn't know we had a king. I thought we were an autonomous collective.
You're fooling yourself. We're living in a dictatorship. A self-perpetuating autocracy in which the working classes...
Oh, there you go, bringing class into it again.
That's what it's all about. If only people would...
Please, please, good people. I am in haste. Who lives in that castle?
No one lives there.
Then who is your lord?
We don't have a lord.
What?
I told you, we're an anarcho-syndicalist commune. We take it in turns to act as a sort of executive officer for the week.
Yes.
But all the decisions of that officer have to be ratified at a special bi-weekly meeting.
Yes, I see.
By a simple majority in the case of purely internal affairs.
Be quiet.
But by a two-thirds majority in the case of more...
Be quiet. I order you to be quiet.
Order? Who does he think he is?
I'm your king.
Well, I didn't vote for you.
You don't vote for kings?
Well, how'd you become king, then?
The Lady of the Lake, her arm clad in the purest shimmering samite, held aloft Excalibur from the bosom of the water, signifying by divine providence that I, Arthur, was to carry Excalibur. That is why I'm your king.
Listen, strange women lying in ponds distributing swords is no basis for a system of government. Supreme executive power derives from a mandate from the masses, not from some farcical aquatic ceremony.
Be quiet!
But you can't expect to wield supreme executive power just because some watery tart threw a sword at you.
Shut up!
I mean, if I went round saying I was an emperor just because some moistened bint had lobbed a scimitar at me, they'd put me away.
Shut up! Will you shut up?
Ah, now we see the violence inherent in the system.
Shut up!
Oh, come and see the violence inherent in the system! Help! Help! I'm being repressed!
Bloody peasant!
Oh, what a giveaway. Did you hear that? Did you hear that, eh? That's what I'm on about. Do you see him repressing me? You saw it, didn't you?
Camelot. Camelot. Camelot.
It's only a model.
Shh. Knights, I bid you welcome to your new home. Let us ride to Camelot.
We're knights of the round table. We dance where we're able. We'll routine to call a scene to put work in bed cable. We dine well here in Camelot. We eat ham and jam and spam a lot. We're knights of the round table. Our shows are more mid-table. The many times we give and rhyme that are quite unsingable. We're rock and mad in Camelot. We sing from the dire Camelot.
I have to push the pram a lot.
No, on second thoughts, let's not go to Camelot. It is a silly place.
Right.
The terrible and the knights of the round table.